This week, Meta is pushing the metaverse even further, and the term metaverse is going to be the only successful thing about Meta's initiative. The legions of people who paid $1,500 to Microsoft for an AR headset can do it again, now paying Meta for what seems like good hardware and a sad lump of software. Remember, a console is only as good as its games, and hardware is only as good as the software you run on it. This is my sarcasm-dripping punditry. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back and live once again with episode number 933 of our show for tonight, October the 16th of 2022. We're back after not being here last week. Dark Soccer and I were at TwitchCon, and I can't believe it's been an entire week since TwitchCon. It almost feels like an eternity ago. But let me say hello. Of course, I'm Rob Roberts, and over there, of course, is the previously mentioned Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I understand your voice is not in tip-top shape tonight, but that has nothing to do with TwitchCon, right? That's, maybe, I don't know.
I had a sinus infection.
Oh, it's no fun.
And I can't put the thing on over my headphones, but part of my cosplay.
Yeah, so for those that are listening on our podcast feed, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, so you can watch us live. But if you, of course, listen on the podcast feed, which is available on Spotify, iTunes, all the major podcast platforms, you don't get the visuals, sadly, but Dark Sakura was showing off a little bit of her pig cosplay, pig being the killer from Dead by Daylight, that's from the Saw franchise and movies. So I will come back in just a moment, Dark Soccer. We'll talk more about TwitchCon, but first I have to say hello as well to Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
Did you have a
pig
good...
being the pig from Babe? It's a really weird game.
No, she was not cosplaying as that. How was your week off?
Busy.
Yeah,
it's just working on video.
I was gonna say you're pushing the Minecraft theme even harder. I saw you put out another video. You were doing like a team stream yesterday, right?
Yeah. So we did a kind of a commentary stream on the Minecraft Live stuff. So they do their event and they have like all their announcements and everything. So we did a co-stream with that.
Nice. So tell us quickly, what's the latest video about over on your YouTube channel, Loki OLR on YouTube, if you're not already following?
So my latest Channel 64 episode, it revolves around me trying to try out for sheriff, because there's sheriff tryouts in our town of No Water, because there's pillagers constantly attacking, so we need a sheriff to like wrangle those up. And so I'm not prepared, and so in order to get prepared and do a lot in a short amount of time, you have to have a montage. And so I have a montage, and it's hilarious. So there's that, and then I build a multi-item sorting system. So it's big storage room to store everything, because it's very key to get that all organized. It makes projects in the future like way easier. And there's a lot of there's some lore thrown in there as well, but it's pretty funny.
Jess Sevenix is in our chat right now saying best intro ever, massive 80s montage vibes.
Yes, Jessix, yes. In fact, I have Jessix's latest video playing behind me as well, because I would like to showcase his stuff as well.
Nice.
Dear friend of mine on the Channel 64 SMP, and does some just incredible builds and just really entertaining content as well. So go check him out as well.
Okay.
I just had an Illidan moment, though.
Hmm.
You are not prepared.
From the old school Warcraft trailer? Yeah.
It's funny because, so, like, not to spoil too much, but, like, it's basically, we've been throwing around, there's, like, this tiny little bit of lore that, like, kind of got introduced in Arrington's video, who's also on our server. And so then I incorporated something with that as well, and then now I incorporated something else with it. So it's basically these... We're finding this hidden, like technology buried in the desert type of stuff. And so there's this quantum battery thing that keeps coming up that I ended up using to almost like give myself superpowers for a little bit. That's what the the whole point is, like, I don't actually train. I suck at everything. But with the power of cheating through a quantum battery, I'm able to do a bunch of crazy stuff. But, yeah, it makes for a very entertaining montage. So definitely check it out because it took forever to put that together.
All right. Will do. Okay, so I want to get into – okay, so here's the wild thing going on tonight. There is so much breaking news happening today. Like, get out the duct tape. We have so much breaking news that needs to be fixed. So, like, usually we do, like, one kickoff topic or one lead topic before we do our gaming weeks. I think we literally have five things to talk about before we get to our gaming weeks tonight. So, but that's fine because there's a little less gaming news overall this week because it all dropped today. So we're gonna get into it here in a moment here. I do want to say one more time, though, for the audience this week, please excuse our voices. Dark Sakura mentioned she's sick. I hosted a show here live last night, which was great. I know some of you know that I, on the side, do some live theater and variety show hosting. We had a huge show last night, but it also kind of affected my voice. So Loki, on the other hand, is just
fine. Good.
But yeah, I can feel it.
Well, I have allergies, so
okay, there you go. So
but I'm fine for the most part. Yeah.
We're all old and broken, so please just bear with us.
Dan was in the same state as me, and I think we might have both had like a cold, but typically when I get a cold, it evolves into a sinus infection. And if they don't catch it quick, for me, I get bronchitis really easily. Yeah. So I'm on the hardcore antibiotics right now, which has the plus side of giving me good skin for like a month.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about our trip to TwitchCon. So because we do have so much other news to talk about, a nine-hour drive. Yeah, I don't want to talk about like every single streamer we met because that's too much. But how about maybe like overall? Let's start here. Overall, what were your thoughts on TwitchCon? And what were like your top three things from TwitchCon? So overall and top three.
Fucking big. But I'd say, because I didn't get to go to really any of the panels because of shenanigans, I'll put it that way. Because I could have gone to a panel, but I was planning for something else, and then that got swept out from under me. So I'd say my top things were seeing all the charities represented.
Mm.
Charities were good. Lots of networking opportunities, too. That was really great. And then just getting to put faces. Well, I mean, all of them, I already saw faces. Getting to put physical bodies.
Flesh. Getting to put flesh. Face to flesh.
To the flesh. but like just getting to see all these people I've made friends with and getting to see people I've already met again, you know, like Nick and a few people. But just getting to see people, to meet my friends, you know, who have, you know, I've spent the last year getting to know and seeing just how real a lot of them are online, you know, just about everybody was how I expected them to be. A few people were quieter than I expected them to be, but most everybody was pretty genuine, you know. It was very, very crowded, though. I mean, it's already a big place, but I think I got a little bit late. I got in a little bit late because I like sleep. And that made it easier for me to get through the pre-screening. I like the idea of having the bands. But I think they could have had some sort of different deployment system for it. They were giving away those extra swag bags at the end of the con, by the way. I got like two more of them.
It was funny. And for those that aren't aware, the wristbands were like the COVID screening check. Like either you had a negative test or you were vaccinated. But yeah, like they gave you these bands and like what they didn't, you had to wear it basically for 3 days straight. Like so I just kept the thing on for 3 days. I felt gross. Like it felt like I was wearing a life alert or something.
It wasn't that gross. I mean, seriously, it was easy to clean off. You know, it was plastic.
It felt weird.
I've done it before for other cons. It's not that big of a deal. For me, it wasn't. But I certainly enjoyed cosplaying, but there weren't a lot of other cosplayers. There was a few big ones, like the Big Daddy. Did you see?
I did, yeah.
And a Reptar. That is like an inflatable costume. You know, the artist room was really great, except I don't know. It was, I don't mind a lot of original stuff, but I was seeing like some of the same fandoms represented over and over, not necessarily the things that I wanted to see. And then of course there was like the pervy booths, which I'm not into. I mean, they're, I also just an overhearing, because I mean, I'll admit predominantly the folks I hung out with were gay and non-binary people. Mm-hmm. And there was not enough eye candy for the gay men, I'm just going to say, or the women who were into male bodies, I guess. You know, it was very heavily marketed to the straight male gays, which is disgusting. But there was a lot of like funny stuff, a lot of cute art represented, a lot of really good serious artists, like the person that did the oil paintings of the scenes. Did you go by that booth?
I did, yeah.
Talk to the there's a person who did hand thrown ceramics live on stream, and I'm going to be putting in a commissioned order soon for my swear jar, which is the more I swear, you know, the more money I have to put in there, because swearing is awesome and that'll get me rich quick. But he was from Tennessee. We chatted about, you know, Waffle House for a little bit, and they were a D&D person. They're like, yeah, we've got the fifth edition. So I was like, I play second. And then I got this look of, you must like pain. Like, no, I like calculators and sheets and having an actual use for, you know, a D4 but or a D3. Overall, people were mostly pleasant. Mm-hmm. Got to actually the drag show. Oh, my fucking God. Mm-hmm. It was great. And London was London Bradshaw to do something that geared toward mental health.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love the representation.
They had a very impressive
friends. I love London anyway. Yeah. And Marisol had a wonderful Marisol Lords. Mm-hmm. I felt sorry for poor dear, because I don't know, it looked like a first time presenting, and I know how nerve wracking that can be. And with a crowd like that.
Yeah. Hosting in front of your computer is not quite the same as hosting in front of a live crowd. And I'm not saying that in a shady way. I'm just saying it
okay under the circumstances.
Yeah, under the circumstances,
and she
it was fine.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything you would expect there. It's just, I think some things just, it's hard to jump in, you know, and I'm talking as somebody who does do live hosting in front of lots of people last night. And it's one of those things where it's like, that I didn't just, my first 20 times on stage were not beautiful. You know, it's just, you have to grow into that. It takes practice like anything else, right? So it's probably hard to jump into that at TwitchCon for the first time.
My thing is, forget there's people.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen me do panels. I'm kind of the same way with everything that I do, but I've done performances and solos and ensembles. So I had that to bolster me for those things. But I mean, overall, and we're going to address some of the worst parts of the con. And I saw that shit coming, but I'm going to leave that be for a moment. Like when we first walked by that particular thing that we're going to address, I said, oh, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. And then I wanted to kind of do it because I love American Gladiators, but I digress. I did network with a lot of people, different companies. I got to play the new PSO2, which was okay. They're like, so how long have you been playing Phantasy Star? I'm like, since the Japanese beta of Phantasy Star Online, the old one, on Dreamcast. Oh, that was funny. And I'm sorry, just on a purely petty, selfish, what's the word I'm thinking of? I guess kind of like tooting my own horn thing. Mm-hmm. My skincare routine is completely paid off because nobody believed my age. I felt, especially the person who asked me if I was 26. Thank you.
Yeah,
you're off by 20 years.
We were definitely some We were definitely some of the older people at TwitchCon, but not the oldest. I saw some other folks there that were clearly older than we were, and props to them. I hope I still have the drive to do that stuff when I'm in my 50s and 60s.
I did meet up with the folks from Mix It Up Bot, and they're awesome. We talked a bit about Mac support, you know, and talk about, you know, Stadia going down and how I'm moving to Boosteroid for things, and just talk about more Mac integration for some of those things. And I've offered to beta test a few things. Yeah. Met up with the guy who created Blurp, which is what I use for sound redeems on my channel now. Mm-hmm. And it's just got to meet like a lot of creators who do behind the scenes stuff as much as the people in front of the camera. Yeah. And people don't understand, when you start streaming, I mean, you don't need a lot to start. You basically need either a computer or a phone.
Or a console. A lot of consoles have now, yeah.
I talk to people who do phone streaming, mm-hmm. stream their games from their phones. Mm-hmm. I have the apps for it, I just haven't bothered. But, you know, people who do, they're just chatting streams all directly through their phones or their iPad. And, you know, and you don't need a lot. You don't need a lot of money to start. It's free applications. You can, you remember how shitty my first webcam was. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for me, I've done 90% of my graphics, video editing, and music on my channel.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. Imagine having to pay somebody for that. But these apps that go like Mix It Up Bot, they don't make anything off of it. It's free and it's really good. Not like using something like Streamlabs where they charge you a premium for shit you can get for free online. So kudos to them. The Stream Raiders people had like a Stream Pirates thing. It was kind of cool.
Oh, that's their new thing. Their new game that they're showing off.
But I just liked meeting more of the people who do stuff to support streamers.
Yeah.
And they have a thankless job, mostly. And y'all are the lifeblood of a successful streamer. And kudos to all of you who do this stuff from behind the scenes.
Transitioning from that into some of my like thoughts on the show floor and stuff, I thought, like, you know, as far as what I got out of the show floor and some of the exhibits and so forth, I actually found I had a very similar experience to the very first time I went to TwitchCon. Because remember, our voiceover guy Jason invited me on a whim the first year, and I went to TwitchCon for a day, and I wasn't very immersed in Twitch culture. I knew about it, but I learned, you know, a lot about like streaming and some of the like behind the scenes stuff. It was very informative that first year I went. And I would say from that perspective, I got a similar thing. I think there were a lot of things on the show floor that were meh, like, you know, like the foam pit, which, yes, we'll talk more about in a minute, like just some silly stuff, like the giant
games were kind of fun.
The giant Wendy's booth, which, you know, okay, cool. Wendy's is a sponsor and they were giving away grape Frosties as like a limited time thing.
Ew.
I mean, but I'm diabetic. No. I can't have them anyway.
The Capital One thing there too, but yeah. Twitch has a partnership with them.
But I get it. They're all sponsors and they're paying for it, so they get a little space.
Why? There was the Velveeta booth and that was great.
They had
a ball pit with Velveeta.
Yeah. So
little packets of Velveeta shells and cheese.
You know, and there were a few game companies, like Sega was there, obviously, with the Phantasy Star, and they were showing off the Like a Dragon like reboot of the Dreamcast game and all that. And then they like Street Fighter VI definitely had a presence there because
that
there's
fun. Yeah, did you play?
No, I watched others play, but I didn't want to wait.
Honestly. Playing on a hand controller was kind of crappy. I gave up after one match because it hurt. Uh-huh. Playing on the 8-button controller, though, that was fun.
Yeah.
And the new girl, Kimberly, is great. We'll talk about that later.
So like my top things, I would say I loved the drag show. You know, obviously Darksoccer and I have our drag spinoff talks and so forth, but I was just so happy that they spotlighted that type of queer content literally front and center right after the opening ceremony, the opening keynote, which I'm not going to say the opening keynote was a letdown. I thought the charity donations were nice. I thought, you know, there was a lot of like, okay, yay, Twitch type of stuff built into it. But I was very surprised how little wows there were in it. And I'm really shocked at how Amazon clearly seems to operate as a siloed company. And I this is something that if I ran Amazon, I don't. But if I ran Amazon, I would really be trying to break down some of these silos, because Amazon feels like an incredibly siloed company to me. And you see that when Twitch talks about being charged by their own company for bandwidth and how much that whole thing costs. And I think this opening keynote, like, what a missed opportunity to showcase Amazon Luna or anything relating to Prime Gaming or anything related to, you know, other types of nerd content. Like, I was just shocked at how much Amazon fails to utilize things that might be relevant and exciting to their captive audience that paid to be there. So I think it's a big fail on not Twitch's part, Amazon's part. That's Amazon operating in silos. And I think they're going to regret not taking advantage of that type of stuff sooner, to be quite honest, in my opinion. But back to the drag show, the good news. I was so happy that they spotlighted something like that front and center, because I loved that Twitch kind of like put their metaphorical weight behind that and the importance that something like Twitch was to the drag community, who, remember, lost bars and clubs for at least a year, if not longer, which is a big income source for many of these folks. And I also kind of love the fact that the drag people they were showcasing, and this is absolutely no shade to the fabulous queens that are on this platform as a result of larger exposure on a show like Drag Race. I love Angina, Detox, very talented. Trixie Mattel even streams on here once in a while. These are all fantastic people. However, I love that none of them were involved in the drag show. And the focus was really on people that really made their headway on Twitch. You could argue that Bitch Puddin, kind of, because she was the winner of Dragula Season 2. But I do think Bitch Puddin sort of has that card of, hey, I threw that weight from winning Dragula behind putting on these digital shows and using my name and my resources to bring everyone else exposure. And for that reason, she absolutely deserved a seat at that table, and I thought she did a great job hosting.
And I do think that she was a fantastic choice of a host. Yes. You need that big name as a host.
Yeah. No notes. And I love that they showcased queens. I think there were two kings. There was non-binary individual in there as well. I love that it kind of ran the gamut. I loved, you know, some of the performances were so, so good. Rose Evergreen, Alan Venmotor, that was amazing. And that dance. And if you haven't seen it, it's all on the video on demand. And just, it was just fun. And it was fun to be in the room and feel that energy and so forth. And like you said, London Bradshaw, I thought their approach to the whole thing and really, really utilizing AV. All the other performers did things that were elevated, like club and like RuPaul work the world types of things on a big stage. Again, nothing wrong with that. It was fantastic. What London did, incorporating the AV intelligently and intentionally into their act and giving a shout out to so many other people through that method and tying that all into the overarching thing about what the pandemic did to our mental health and how Twitch was able to tie into that. I mean, gold star, tens across the board. I don't know what the fuck else to say. Like, that was incredible. And I'm so happy with what they did. Everybody did great.
Well, and on top of that, as a streamer, London is hilarious. I mean, doing a lot more GTA roleplay stuff lately.
Yeah.
But just absolutely wonderful to watch. And back when they were doing DBD, that was also a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. If I'm looking at a top three, so that would definitely be like one of my top.
We have like top 11.
I know. One of my other top would be, well, here's the thing. And here's in general what I like about TwitchCon is that I like the element of, hey, let's all agree we're going to be in the same place at the same time. And let's be real. You didn't need Twitch necessarily to do that. I'm sure we all, let me backtrack. Twitch, yes, was instrumental in us all meeting each other, but we didn't necessarily need them to put on the party. And we know so many people that went and didn't really go to TwitchCon. They were just like going to be in San Diego and hang out with folks that weekend or what have you.
Still pissed about missing the Kim Petras concert.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's whatever. It's, you know, I think that
was... Excuse Spaghetti Factory, although I understand, but still.
Was Cheesecake Factory, not Spaghetti Factory.
Cheesecake Factory, right. That was it.
90-minute wait. We were quoted 60. But anyway, I'm not going to go full Chad on this program. So it is what it is. They were short.
We already had a Karen there anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. I also really enjoyed the panels that I did go to.
I'm sad about the one I missed.
They're all online. You can go watch them all on demand. And I thought
the tax one was, I thought, really a good one to have.
Some of them could have done better. Again, just because you're great on Twitch doesn't mean you're great in front of a crowd and you have to prepare for a panel in a certain way. I went to a panel that I felt was two really good panels smushed into one panel where the two panels kind of attacked each other and no message stood out as a result. So there were things, there's definitely room for improvement in that regard, but there were some good panels that I went to. Actually, I thought the one that was the most fascinating was the one that Twitch staff put on themselves about how to get recognized on the Twitch platform. And, you know, what kind of goes into getting discovered. And there was a lot that I like kind of knew, but one big takeaway I got from that panel was schedule your streams best you can, which is something I don't like doing because I don't like kind of committing in that regard because I don't want Twitch to be my third job. I want Twitch to be a fun thing in the side, but my God.
And I started from the get-go.
Twitch is leaning into those so much. And like, for an example, for those of you that are watching live on Twitch right now, like there's this new shout out feature that you can use. So you can shout out another streamer. So if I were to actually do a shout out here, and I'm going to do that in the chat so you can see this, it'll actually show that here they are and here's the follow button to follow them. Now, I don't think Bobby had any streams scheduled. I shouted out Bobby. So I don't think he has any streams actually scheduled that are coming up. But if he does, you would see it right there below. So you can like bookmark it and know it's coming up and so forth. So it's like that is now the new like native shout out feature that's built in. So you don't have to use Nightbot or anything like that. But like they're also showing schedules of people you follow like on the front page. That's something they're going to be adding and so on and so on. So I don't love the idea of scheduling everything, but I'm going to try because I think this is a really important thing to be leveraging. So that was something I got out of a panel. And then I guess that's three things. That was, you know, the people, the panel. So here's the thing. Would I pay the $200 to go to TwitchCon again? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I needed to be there all 3 days. And maybe part of that is because I use the trip as an excuse to see my muggle friends who have nothing to do with Twitch. You know, as like one of my closest friends who used to be my roommate back when this show was in the garage studio when we were on Justin TV. My roommate from that era lives in San Diego now. So we met up in Hillcrest for brunch one day. It had nothing to do with TwitchCon. And I enjoyed doing things like that too. And so I kind of feel like, you know what? I would like to, and I think back to the year I went with Jason and I was like, I got a lot out of one day. I got a lot out of just walking the show floor and doing the one day. So I feel like next year, maybe I'll do all 3 days. But like I would get a lot out of just going for one day and doing as many panels as I can and making sure I pick the day that the drag showcase is also on is the day I would want to attend the convention. But yeah.
And doing all three again.
As far as meeting people, I was also kind of surprised like how quickly I met people. And like, there's just this nature of people. And this is a big lesson I learned. There is a nature for people, even when meeting in person, to hang out within their cliques. And I'm not using that in a negative way. I completely understand. People are introverted. People are extroverted introverts and so forth. It takes a lot. Not everybody can reach out to somebody the same way they can online when they're necessarily in person. And people gravitate towards hanging within their cliques in person. So I sort of felt like for that reason, I wasn't really mingling with people that I've kind of lurked in their streams for a long time. And that was a big lesson to me. I need to stop lurking in streams. That set me back when it came to really meeting and talking to people and like being able to chat with people like wholeheartedly at TwitchCon because, and a lot of this is because, and I, you know, I own it, for a long time before I lived in this place, when I lived at the old house, it was easy for me to watch Twitch on the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One, where it's very difficult to chat. You don't chat with a controller. Yes, I can get out my phone and chat that way, but that's a pain in the butt. I don't want to do that. So I need to make sure that I lurk less and talk more, even if it's, hi, LOL, nice play, or the number one thing that streamers love, making clips. Make a clip of a good moment. Streamers will remember you for that. That's for sure. So that's kind of a big thing I took away for me, is that I need to make sure I'm participating in Twitch and not just lurking, because then when it comes to stuff like this, like, people don't have a lot to talk about. And it's, you know, it's just something I just kind of noticed. And I think that's one thing where I feel like Twitch might be able to improve a con the next year and make it a little more attractive. Even though, yes, Dark Soccer, I understand like the networking. I think you use networking in a way of like meeting and mingling with the people that you, you know, because you've done that immersion in Twitch culture in a way I didn't. And I will fully, you know, say that up front. I think where Twitch could have done better is create more intentional places to network with new people. And I thought one place to do that would have been the LGBTQ meetup the first day. It was just a room full of clicks. Again, I'm not using that in a negative context. I understand people want to meet their viewers and their peoples and the people they raid all the time the first time. How much better would an event have been that was designed to intentionally meet and greet new LGBTQ streamers you haven't worked with before? Or whatever, you know, that's the content for me, for you out there listening. If you're not a part of the LGBT community, what if that is like, you know, Latin streamers, I know how to meet up. Asian American Pacific Islander streamers had their own meetup. San Diego locals had their own meetup. There is a group that you fit into somewhere in there. And I think if those had been more intentionally networking events, and like somebody could have been on a microphone and been like, okay, pick a card when you go into the room. Now go to a table, all of the diamonds over here, all of the hearts over here. Tell us, give us the elevator pitch about your stream. Okay, now we're going to mix it up. All the aces go over here, all the twos go over here, all the threes go over here. Tell us about a video game you really enjoy streaming and why. And like have those prompt topics to like really get people talking and mingling. How much better would that have been to really meet and grow your network? And that's
like that.
My
it's like Twitch speed dating, but you know, without the dating.
It is.
Or maybe
but
even
that's what they needed.
Some sort of mentorship program.
I think they did have that, but it was so popular and in a small room and not a spotlight in the con. I doubt people knew it was there, to be honest. Pod Culture sounds like a cool way to mix. Look, Twitch, I humbly nominate myself to run some of your networking panels next year, because not to give away the job and what I do for a living, but like this sort of how to meet new people on the first day at a new job, let's say, is something I'm very well versed in. So anyway, I think that's the opportunity. TwitchCon is great for networking with the people you already know. TwitchCon today is not great for networking with people you don't.
I think that you should reach out to them and offer. I really do.
I'll do that. I will. Bobby, clip it. Hold me accountable.
I'll be on your ass for it. I think it's a great idea.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right. So let's talk about, we've been alluding to it, but let's talk about that thing that did make the news. So I'm sure you've heard, but in case you haven't, TwitchCon, Lenovo, they're all in a bit of hot water because there was a booth that they had set up that resulted in some major injuries. They had an American Gladiator. If you remember the game Joust from American Gladiators, where people stand up on pedestals and kind of knock themselves around with big foam sticks, they had this
it
thing
was
set up.
A kind of like almost like shield style.
Yeah. So, you know, all right, this was set up. And then there was a big foam pit that you would fall into, you know, you get knocked down. But here's the thing. That foam pit, I mean, for that type of fall, looked a little bit shallow. I'm not sure a bunch of foam cubes are really going to break the fall the way a foam mat would.
It's actually very deceptive because they use cubes like that for jumping. Actually, I'll use something that you've seen, Drag Race.
Sure.
And they use a deep foam pit to catch people. They do it sometimes for larger falling stunts because it's a more, what's the word I'm thinking of? It'll conform a little bit more to the shape of a body.
Right.
Gotcha. However, it was deceptive. If you go by it and how elevated it looked like it was, it seemed like it was deeper.
Yeah.
Than it was. But even so, I was saying that that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. People are going to hurt themselves. Someone's going to punch someone in the face with that thing and break their glasses into their eyeball or something. I'm thinking of Carrie too. But anyway.
The way they're supposed to be set up is they're supposed to be at least like 4 to 6 feet deep with the foam cubes and have like almost like a trampoline on the bottom, like some sort of thing that has give. Whereas this looked like it was about 2 feet, maybe.
It was.
And solid concrete in the bottom.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I would say that, especially for Adriana, the girl who broke her back.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, but we go on a tangent. So let me just say, notable streamer Adriana Ceklik suffered a back injury on Sunday, and it was, you know, the videos everywhere, and you know, I
she did a full on cheerleader jump off that thing.
Yeah, she did, but you know, she thought it was safe to, you know, a safe landing there, right? So, but she wasn't the only one that hurt herself. So if you think, you know, she was silly for jumping off, she really wasn't the only one that hurt herself. Locke Van Ness sent a tweet with a picture of her in a wheelchair. Recovering from an injury that she sustained, and so on and so on. In a statement,
there were other people.
Yeah. In a statement, Twitch said, "We are aware of the incidents of TwitchCon visitors who sustained injuries in the Gladiator Games soft foam pit at the Lenovo booth. The area has since been closed for any further use while we work with event organizers to look into the incidents." Well, that's probably
something they waited a long time.
Yeah. They probably should have done that after the first incident, but it is what it is, I guess. That's what they said.
So. And I don't think the waivers are going to do either company a lick of good.
No, it's negligence.
They didn't follow proper procedure.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, and this is just the side note, I don't think I would have done a full-on cheerleader jump into this ambiguous pile of foam.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'll admit, it looked deceptively deep.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says waivers don't matter when there's negligence in building the thing. And yeah, I think that's what it's really going to come down to be honest.
Now, the other side.
This is also why, by the way, conventions have to carry insurance. So, I mean, here's at the end of the day, people are like, is Twitch going to go bankrupt because of these lawsuits? They're insured. Trust in that whole thing. However, TwitchCon premiums, TwitchCon ticket prices will go up next year to cover the new insurance premiums. That's where this goes.
Well, but at any rate, though, you saw the Wendy side, right? Where they had just like the long half tube and it gave more surface area and it was a more on the level. They weren't well elevated above it. It would have been just like, you know, stumbling on a path if someone fell. That one, I think, was better handled. And I don't think a lot of people got really injured off of the Wendy's one.
Yeah.
Because there was though some people really going at each other, but it was a lot more to code, I think.
I'm just going to break it down. I think those types of physical challenge things are corny and not needed on the TwitchCon 4 in the first place. Maybe I'm just the wrong audience. I'm too old, you know, okay, boomer or whatever.
That hurt on the balloon game.
I think that type of stuff just is a waste of space, to be quite honest, on the TwitchCon floor.
It's like, also very negligent anyways, because like imagine like, so we had her jump in into the pit, but like people are known to dive into those things. Like someone could have died in that thing.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see what develops. Cause I mean, there's certainly going to be a lawsuit. There hasn't been one yet. And I don't know who's, if she, Adriana does it or when they all do it, a class action. I don't know. There will be lawsuits. There will be settlements as a result. And we will never find out the details because that is how these things always go.
Yeah.
Count on it.
Breaking your back like that is a lifelong injury. She's going to be dealing with that forever. She already said she has nerve damage done to her bladder because of it.
Oh, God.
They have to fuse bones. And she's undergone several surgeries already. Like it's
horrible.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope she is able to recover as much as possible in the coming days and weeks and so forth. And that's really unfortunate.
One of the others was about this balloon game. And I'm sure we've all played it, you know, with our friends where you just try to keep the balloon in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other people who got injured with that because there were obstacles in the room in the form of furniture. And I saw people just diving over shit to try to get that. And it just wasn't great.
SSJ100 Matt says, I mean, they couldn't do a dunk your favorite streamer in the dunk tank for charity. Sure. Put it at the Wendy's booth and dunk them in a grape frosty. No, I'm kidding. That'd not be good. That would not be good. That would not be good. Here. Look, for example, the Stream Raiders people, Captain TV, they had a makeshift like Plinko game that was clearly put together in someone's spare time to give away T-shirts. I fully endorse that. That's how you do it. A cheesy little Price is Right ripoff game. Nobody's going to be. That is how you do something that get people over in your booth.
Or they guess that sound effect where they played a game I've really never played.
Sound effect.
But
oh, the
that
Price
was
is Right
the blurb.
Or,
that was it. The blurb.
Push your luck thing.
The blurb booth.
Oh, maybe I didn't see that.
You had to guess three sound effects, and then you got to spin a wheel.
Oh.
And they started off with Skyrim, of which I've played once. but I that was how I got in touch with the creator, and we ended up chatting for a good minute.
There was a booth that had a makeshift pressure luck game that got my attention instantly. But now, and I'm going to be honest and sorry to those, I couldn't tell you who they were. I knew they said they were promoting something that was like an OBS, but better because it had built-in games and stuff. But the demo they showed me, like, did not show me any of the built-in games. They had me play a makeshift pressure luck, and then it was like whatever squares I would land on would be things they would show me, like make your own GIF and things like this. And I was like, I thought I was excited because I was like, oh, I would love to do like a VOG game night with pressure luck and video game trivia. Like, tell me more. And that's not the impression I got from that booth at all. So well, I don't know. Maybe I read it wrong. I need to look into it more.
I didn't even see that, nor did I see the Plinko. I mean, it's just
it was way in the corner. It was tucked away in the
congested
corner.
Congested things were. Yeah. And I'm also sad, though, that, I mean, they're just, I think that the traffic could have also been better routed and that they needed more exits on the main. I mean, they opened them up later, but the first day they didn't. The way they
routed traffic in the building was ridiculous, too. Like, you had to walk all the way down, loop around, come back. Like, it was just all this extra walking.
There was another escalator and an open elevator.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was all the way on the ballroom side.
I can't believe San Diego Comic-Con is at that same convention center. Like, now that I've been there, I'm like, how do they do Comic-Con here? I felt like that place was too – I mean, granted, they probably weren't using it all. In fact, I know they weren't using it all, but it's like – place felt small to me, but for something like that. But anyway, I digress. We have a lot of other news to get into. So if you want to hear more about TwitchCon, I know Dark Socrates talked about it on her stream. I've talked about it on my stream. And of course,
I barely have, but yeah.
We'll, talk about whatever you want and gossip more later in the week. For now, though, we have a lot of breaking news, as I mentioned before. Just a couple hours ago, pretty big bombshell that just landed. Variety, Deadline, these are newspapers and traditional magazines that report on things that are going on in the TV and film industry. They're pretty renowned in Hollywood, and they've announced that G4 is shutting down. Now there's no end date. There's not going to be a nice send off this time like there was the first time. G4 is done, effective immediately. 45 staff members of G4 TV unfortunately lost their jobs, and some of them found out because this letter that apparently Comcast Spectator chairman and CEO Dave Scott distributed, not everybody had received yet, which just goes to show the incompetence of management once again ruining something that was a nice thing for some people. And from the get-go, this whole fucking thing was confusing. Like, and I've said this before, and I know G4 had to say this. I'm not knocking the programming. I'm knocking the way it was managed by Comcast. Once again, why the fuck wasn't it a dedicated network on Peacock? Like, how siloed
is the company
running?
Was it even on Peacock,
running?
Or did they even have it streaming available? That was the thing. It was weird. It was like,
Pluto,
this is only on cable. Like,
but it wasn't actual G4 on Pluto. It was like a selections of G4 on Pluto. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, and then it was like you had some stuff on YouTube or Twitch. It was like because we know we have to compete with that crowd, but we also want to be a traditional cable network. What the fuck are you, G4? It was a problem from the beginning. I'm sorry. I know the network had fans. I know people that work there. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a bitch. It's just it was mismanaged from the beginning. And this is the sad end to it all. And I'm sorry to the fans, but this should also be a warning for all cable traditional networks, as far as I'm concerned, because this is just accelerated because G4 is related to tech. But you know where the eyes are going? The eyes are going online. The eyes are going to YouTube. The eyes are going to the streaming services. Traditional cable does not have much time left. And as I've said, so many times before on this show, the more widespread 5G gets, more and more people are going to cut the cord with cable. I don't have traditional cable anymore. I've made that no secret on this show. Something I haven't talked about a lot on this show, I'm going to bring this up. When I was young, long time ago, old man Roberts, when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, I had a public access television show. Does anyone know what a public access show is today?
Of course, 15 Wayne's World.
You all do because you were also 15, 16 when I was. But very few people even know what a public access show is these days. Why?
Go watch Wayne's World.
Yeah, Wayne's World isn't, although Wayne's World wasn't exactly what we were doing. But, and I also understand public access still exists in some very large markets, but you have to understand public access is as niche of a thing as artists releasing their albums on cassette tapes in the year 2022. That's the kind of niche thing public access is.
People are doing it again about the same way they were doing vinyl, and it is very niche.
But it's a niche, right? It's a niche.
It's hilarious, though.
So, but that's the thing, is that public access doesn't exist anymore for the most part. It doesn't exist. 99% doesn't exist anymore. Why? Because it all went to YouTube. You do everything online, or Twitch, or one of the other video on demand competitors that's out there. Like, the novelty of having your own show on television and learning how to edit tapes, you know, do editing on tape, that's all gone. You have computer programs that are very easily available to do all of that now. You don't need to use fancy equipment anymore.
That is true. It's all free too. Some of it is.
Is that, yeah, Lightroom is, or yeah, there's a bunch that do that.
DaVinci.
Yeah.
Resolve is a good one.
Anybody that has an Apple device already has iMovie. You know, there's just that. VXJ6V in chat says, Tom Green started a show on public access before Fame. Yeah, there was another one that moved to MTV that was, you know, actually a lot of their like 90s content shifted over from public access. I want to say Syphil and Ollie was a public access thing too. I may be wrong. It sure felt like one though. ZenMonkey11 says, it wasn't mismanaged, just ahead of its time. They had a good thing going. It will be back soon. I'm sorry, as I know you were a fan, I'm going to agree to disagree with you on this. It was mismanaged. And if you want to see my proof, go read the article. This news is the proof. It was mismanaged. And I'm sorry, I know you were a fan, and that's a hard thing to say. And I'm not going to, many of those people, especially the ones that are full-time Twitch streamers, pro wrestlers in the industry somewhere else, they will absolutely bounce back, do their own thing. There's going to be plenty of content in that same vein that you will be able to watch, but Comcast could not wrangle that into a traditional television channel. And my proof is what we just talked about. So, let's see. Other in chat. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf says, this shutdown was especially mismanaged. Everyone got fired at 3:30 on a Sunday, and most of them learned about it through Twitter articles. That's the height of mismanagement. Thank you. Thank you for putting that succinctly as a tangible example of, yes, there was mismanagement going on. And so that's what it is. But again, I think a lot of those talented people will bounce right back and probably what are most people doing when their shows and so forth on traditional cable get canceled? What do? They go start a podcast. They start a YouTube.
And file for unemployment.
They start a Twitch.
Or spin off something onto like a streaming service or something like that. These are very talented individuals that should be able to do something outside of, you know, cable TV. Or hell, you have people like Leo Laporte who... they're still doing This Week in Tech, just, you know, not on Tech TV. They're on their own network that they've
made.
Great
example. Yep. And that's where many of these talented folks are ultimately going to end up. And I encourage those of you that were fans of G4, please support them wherever they go and wherever they end up. That's the best thing you can do. So. All right. Continued breaking news tonight. Earlier, actually, it's a few hours old at this point, but Loki, why don't you break this one down? What we have an announcement of announcement, right?
Konami dusted off their Twitter account to basically let us know that the latest updates for the Silent Hill series will be revealed during the Silent Hill transmission on Wednesday, October 19th at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or Daylight Time. I'm expecting disappointment because
I'll be
Konami
a massage,
but I will check it out just to see what it is, but like my expectations can't be lower.
Yeah. I've been saying for a while now, it's time for Konami to shit or get off the pot when it comes to Silent Hill. So I'm really glad we're going to get an information dump on October 19th. But, you know, my expectations are also very low. But I would love to be proven wrong. I think the best thing that can happen in this scenario is Konami teaming up with the right partners. For example, there's that longstanding rumor that they've partnered up with the Bloober team, the ones that did the Medium, that to do like a new Silent Hill 2 vision or what have you. Now, I know people have their opinions when it comes to that studio and the Medium and so forth, but I think those types of partnerships and putting the established IP in the hands of people that can actually do things with it, I think is the right way to go. So I think, in my opinion, that would be the best possible thing that comes out of this news. So we'll see. And I'm with Dark Tetsuya in chat. I'll reserve judgment till I see what it is. And big same. You know, I'm willing to give them the benefit of going into it with an open mind. Tiger Claw in chat says it'll be a Silent Hill casino game. If you get three pyramid heads, you win the jackpot. Yeah, obviously there's and pachinko jokes aplenty online with this, and rightfully so. Konami has earned every one of those jokes. However,
this is
going to be something. I would say worst case scenario is a mobile game, but there's going to
that's where you're wrong. It could get much worse than that.
I honestly, truly don't think it will be. I do think Konami with this hype and so forth, this is not about pachinko or casino. This is about a game. It could be a mobile game, but you know, again, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? And we've heard the rumors of a reboot. We've heard the rumors of, you know, going back and revisiting Silent Hill 2, especially when you consider Silent Hill 2 has been propped up into the year 2022, 2021 through Dead by Daylight and other revivals of the IP through merchandising and so forth. Three and two. Yes, you're right, of course, because, with Cheryl.
Because of Heather Cheryl.
Yeah. So... But my point still stands, you know, is that like Silent Hill is still kind of, you know, been bolstered up and so forth. And so there's a reason to revisit those older games. So let's see. I do think there's going to be an actual game. And we'll see. I hope they put it in the right hands, you know?
Yeah, but like the last Metal Gear game, the last Contra game that they've made, the Silent Hill remake that they did. A remaster.
The track record is not good. And what's the thing?
Soccer games that they have that allegedly one of the rumors was that team is working on this.
Yike.
I just like there's
if
like.
If that's true, forget it. Ugh. Forget it.
I can't imagine a good outcome.
Loki, the thing all those things have in common, they've all been developed internally. And that's why I have reservations about the Suikoden HD remix, to be quite honest. I would say that looks better than anything else so far. So maybe some lessons have been learned. I don't know.
Maybe they're not working off of broken code like the Silent Hill 3 one was.
But I'm sorry, my hesitations are completely justified. So let's see. Prove me wrong. I would love nothing more than to be wrong.
I would love to be wrong. Please,
love to be wrong. Please let me be wrong. Tiger Claw in chat says Konami saw how successful the TMNT Cowabunga collection was. What if it was some type of Silent Hill collection? They already tried that, remember? And they couldn't, because they didn't want to go into the voice actor agreements from 2 and 3, they redid with all new voice actors. And it wasn't the voice acting alone, but the 2 and 3 redos that when they did revisit that were terrible. Terrible.
Well, the fact that they were missing the game code, the finished game code for 3.
So
they had to work off of an earlier build, and it still had a lot of the glitches that had been fixed for the final release.
Yeah. But if that's where they're going to go, is that somebody's going to rebuild Silent Hill from scratch? Hell, all four of the original games. Justice for the Room. Room was good too.
I hope they go about it like the way that Resident Evil has been like.
Yeah, that's a good, that's like, a great
let's
blueprint.
Do that. Let's do that's that a great with blueprint. Silent Hill would be fantastic.
Yeah, I would be all about that. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, I brought up voice actors for a reason, because the actual kickoff story tonight that we had slotted before all this breaking news was something that has taken social media by storm. I have a lot to say on this, but Loki, so I'm going to let you cover the facts of this scenario. And then I'm just a warning. I have a lot to say. Loki.
So Helena Taylor had come out, I believe it was on Twitter, and posted a few videos on Twitter talking about how she wasn't doing the voice for Bayonetta 3 and that she wanted folks to boycott the game. The reason for that is because the final offer that Platinum Games gave her for her performance for the whole game was $4,000. Mind you, this is a company that's made hundreds of millions of dollars off of the franchise so far. The going rate for voice acting anyways is about $1,000. I think David Hayter came out and said something about, what was it, like $1,000 per hour, you know, is kind of like the bare minimum, like going rate for like the voice acting of that caliber or something like that. So there's no way you'd be able to record the entire dialogue for a whole game in 4 hours or four sessions. So it's basically, it was a way to kind of force her out because they couldn't fire her. So instead they're offering her a salary that she's obviously not going to take and basically forcing her to quit. And then, of course, now they're getting Jennifer Hale to come in to do their voice acting. And you can't tell me that she's cheaper than $4,000. She's not. It's, I don't know what the reasoning was with pushing her out, but basically that, it's kind of interesting too, like with Jennifer Hale, because I think she also like was big proponent of like the voice actors, like a union and everything, and kind of pushing for that. So like this kind of hear about what's going on and someone being pushed out and then someone else coming in to just, oh, do the role. Like that's a little weird.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. There's a lot of talk on Twitter about this $4,000 and paying Helena what she's worth and, you know, all of this. I do agree with a lot of that. Helena, you know, as the voice actress for Bayonetta deserves a sum of money that is representative of this character that she's been asked to come back and portray for the third time. So that part I do agree with. And so there's that, as I was watching the videos, here's the thing. I think a lot of people talking about this on social media haven't bothered to watch the videos, her videos, and hear the words out of her mouth directly, because there was a lot in it that kind of surprised me. And here's where I have an opinion that I think differs from the norm. And I'm willing to stand by it. I have been unfollowed on Twitter already because of this opinion. Because people are so tied to these headlines that they believe in, and I truly believe have lost the ability somewhere along the way to critically think. But it is what it is. I can't force engagement on any platform, and best of luck to you. And I hope things in your tunnel vision La La Land go wonderfully. My viewpoint is that Helena Taylor is lying by omission in these videos, and I'm going to tell you why. In the first and second video, as I watched them, she's explaining, the process that she went through. She had to audition again for the role because, you know, it's been a few years. You have to make sure the voice level is still there and so forth, which, you know, all makes sense. She talks about appealing to Kamaya to get more money, and she was offered this insultingly low $4,000, which can't even, you know, pay for, you know, certain things and so forth. And in those first two videos, I am completely like with her, and I'm like, yeah, that's shitty. What the fuck? Like, yeah, she's earned certainly a much larger paycheck. Then, you know, if $4,000 is the base, she really deserves much more than that. I mean, granted, I know that voice actors and actresses can supplement income quite greatly with the convention circuit and signing autographs and making appearances and doing all of that. However, she shouldn't have to rely on that. She should be able to get a decent paycheck. Then the third video happens. In the third video, she talks about her replacement, and she says, and about the new girl. Hold on. Surely she knows at this point, because it is well documented, that her replacement is Jennifer fucking Hale. The new girl? That was a patronizing comment towards her replacement, who is a veteran and a respected person in this industry. And that was the first thing that made me raise my eyebrow going, wait a minute. I thought the voice actor circle of actors and actresses was very tight knit, and that she, you know, they all know each other and they all get along and they all support each other. And it's like a big family, right? I also noticed that Helena Taylor hasn't done a lot of convention appearances. She appeared at a convention in Phoenix. I noticed other voice actors and actresses in Bayonetta have shown up, even some of them here locally. That struck me as a curiosity. That's all. Then she goes on to say, in a very backhanded compliment, while I wish her the best of luck, she has no right to sign things as Bayonetta or do things as the character that I've created. Jennifer Hale doesn't need to sign things as Bayonetta. Jennifer Hale has a resume that goes far beyond Bayonetta. You, Helena Taylor, may need that supplemental income. Jennifer Hale does not. You're threatened by Jennifer Hale coming in and taking this role. That's what I got from this video. And then the proverbial cherry on top of the sundae is the fourth video. She starts telling a tale from the Bible about Lazarus. She's comparing her situation to a story out of the Bible. But if you go in and you look at Helena Taylor's liked tweets, it should be no surprise that she's quite religiously influenced. She likes tweets from homophobic pastors like Joel Osteen in her history. Here's the thing. Again, I was with her on those first two videos, but when she started shading Jennifer Hale, and that's what that third video was, I said, no, there's more to this story than this. And I'm going back to something Loki said here about the whole, they purposely offered her a lowball figure to get her out the door. And that's this, you know, I don't know why, if they just wanted her out the door, why didn't they just flunk her audition? They could have done that. There is talk out there, and I don't know if this is true. This may be considered spoilery. There is talk out there that the Bayonetta character was supposed to be killed in the beginning of Bayonetta 3 and replaced with like an alternate Bayonetta. So like this whole game was designed. So it is potential, if that ends up being the plot, that she was only offered so much money to do the role because Bayonetta, as we know her, is only in the game for a few minutes. And if that's the case, does $4,000 seem like such an ugly sum, or is matching the sum you were paid for a prior game actually kind of a nice thing to do? Now, again, until we know the plot of the game, we don't know if any of that is true. However, going back to the third video, Helena Taylor had no problem breaking her NDA, shading Jennifer Taylor, and casually saying, if there is a spinoff game that comes out with Gene, you shouldn't support it. So just casually mentioning that there's a spinoff game. Helena, why is Platinum Games trying to keep developing games without you? Is it possible you are difficult to work with? And again, I don't know Helena Taylor. Perhaps she's a nice person. I'm a little put off by some of the things she said in her fourth video and some of the tweets she likes, but you know what? I'm willing to have an open mind. But is there the possibility that Helena Taylor is difficult to work with? So why are we all rushing to her side without even considering there is another element to this story? Because the other thing, a person like that knows how to milk sympathy for what they want. It's called being a Karen. And I'm sorry. Especially in that fourth video, I was getting BKE from Helena Taylor.
There also, it's like you were saying a minute ago, that there are other factors to consider, and people are very bandwagony. You know, they see people that they respect jumping to conclusions, and they jump to the conclusions as well.
Yes.
And it's just how people are. People are followers, you know? And what we need to do is that people need to stop learning. People need to stop being followers and start being thinkers.
Yes. 100% this.
Yeah. Start looking. I'm going to use an analogy, okay? I've been on this 70s movies kick, and I just watched Logan's Run again. I don't know if you know how that movie ends. Well, here's a 40-year spoiler. They're trapped in this world where everyone has to die at 30. And so these two people get out. They learn there's an outside world and that you can keep living, and they come back. And the thing that the computer system had them go out to learn, they keep refuting with real life thing. And the computer breaks because the truth conflicts with its preconceived notions. And I think that that's how people get. That once they have latched on to an idea, they're going to keep rolling with it no matter how wrong they are and not look for anything outside of their echo chamber. They want to be right and they want to be angry.
And they unfollowed me from Twitter because they didn't like what I had to say about maybe Helena Taylor is not the angel she paints herself to be in this situation.
I watched her videos and I was just disgusted within 5 seconds. I was like, I don't care. Jennifer Hill's a good voice actor.
It's kind of also like, though, we have a ton of stories about, like, corporations in the, you know, gaming sector doing things that are unfair to their employees. So it is a very believable scenario that they may be trying to push her out because of some reasoning. And that's why people don't necessarily look further into it, because it's like, okay, yeah, this is like the fifth story this week that we've heard about, you know, companies screwing over their employees, you know, like, it's just very believable at this point.
And I want to make myself clear on something, and I want to illustrate this with a comment from chat here. So Mike Defton in our chat says, I've said it on Twitter and on Discord. What we should take about this whole ordeal is voice actors get shafted a lot. Fair treatment and pay to them. I want to make sure I stress this. In those first two videos, I was with her. And I said, yes, voice actors don't get paid enough. Yes, the voice of Bayonetta should be paid more money for the success of the game. Yes, yes, all of those things can be true. Voice actors need to be respected, especially now that we're getting into this realm of like live capture and so forth and all the stuff I talked about, you know, after the Red Dead Redemption panel that I did to Dragon Con and so forth. Yes, we need to make sure we're paying actors their fair work. However, Helena Taylor lost me when she started shading Jennifer fucking Hale, who, by the way, internet, if you have called Jennifer Hale a scab in this whole thing, I need you to stop and look at your life and look at your choices and ask yourself if you know how to critically think. Look at her fucking record. Jennifer Hale in 2016 was fighting for voice actor unionization rights. I can't believe the fucking nerve of some of you people on Twitter, the way you're going after Jennifer Hale. Do you think she fucking knew about any of this? God, it's disgusting.
It wasn't her business to know.
And here's the thing. I think that's the one person we would all love to hear from in this scenario is Jennifer Hale. However, guess what? She doesn't need, have, or want to say a goddamn thing. And every single one of us, including myself, needs to live with that. Jennifer Hale does not owe a comment on this entire issue. However, that all being said, Jennifer Hale is saying things in her own way. She's liking some tweets. She can't say things because of her NDA, but she can like some things, such as a tweet that read, Helena understandably declined, and then later Jennifer Hale was cast in the role. I don't know how much Jennifer was paid, but I imagine it was likely more than what Helena was offered. Why? That's up to Platinum to answer, not Jennifer. I agree with that. Jennifer Hale definitely hasn't done anything wrong here. After looking into the situation, it sounds like Helena was offered around the base SAG-AFTRA rate per session, which is still insulting and a lowball for a returning main character in a game this popular. Jennifer liked that tweet even after Helena shaded her, which I thought was a very nice thing to do. Another tweet that Jennifer liked. I agree with this. I loved Bayonetta's voice in the first two games, but boycotting is not the way to go since it disrespects Jennifer when she had nothing to do with this. I definitely want voice actors to be paid better, but there are other ways to handle this. Yes. And then look at this tweet that Jennifer liked. This is the one I really want to highlight. I don't doubt this for one second, talking about Jennifer is a staunch advocate of VA rights. The first part of Helena's tweets made perfect sense, and I agree. But I think she was very unprofessional when talking about Jennifer. What happened to her isn't Jennifer's fault. And I think her like on that tweet says a lot of what I just said. So all I'm going to say is it's very tempting to run with a headline sometimes. And I've been guilty of this too. And this is a good reminder for me. But this is why I stopped and said, you know what? These videos, they're only like 5 minutes. Let me watch. I want to hear what she has to say about it. And then there was that moment in that third video where I went, this doesn't add up. Something's off. The shade is unnecessary. Spilling and breaking the NDA so flagrantly, basically daring Platinum Games to come after her, is unnecessary. Questbuster in our chat room says, there's also the cultural context of Platinum as a Japanese company. They may have felt the offer allowed both to save face, a big deal in countries like Japan, especially in business. Perhaps they were obligated to offer her the role, but ultimately didn't want to want her. Yeah. So anyway,
that makes perfect sense. I mean, that is pretty standard. I mean, not just in, you know, dealing with a role or something, but in dealing with people.
Mm-hmm. And that's
especially when someone is expected to decline.
Yeah. And that's to circle back. That's what I want to say. When I said at the beginning, mm-hmm. I believe Helena Taylor is lying by omission. The part that she is admitting, either because she truly doesn't know it, or I think she does, but she's leaving this part out, is she's difficult to work with. And I think, again, that fourth video, and I think there's and the way she shaded somebody in an industry that, you know, should be close, I think there's a lot to say there. I have heard there have been some disappearing tweets from people, and I'm not talking about Kamaya. I understand Kamaya on Twitter is a whole I'm not going to go there. I already said Platinum Games is not without their own issues in this whole thing. I'm not forgiving them. I'm not saying they were in the right, but I am saying maybe there's something to this whole thing. However, I have heard of some other deleted tweets from people who may be in the know. There's more to this story that we don't know yet.
What are some of those tweets? Because I went to bed.
Basically, that pouring a little gasoline on the fire of she's leaving stuff out. That there's more to the story that than she's leading on. That she's she knows what she's doing to stroke the sympathy likes and all this stuff. This is a calculated move on her part.
I think she's
threatened by her appearances on the convention circuit. I think that's what this all boils down to. I think she's threatened because she's not getting the convention bookings Jennifer Hale does. I think that's
someone's jelly.
Yeah, I do. So we'll see. But I, again, it's one of those things where it's like, if I'm an asshole when we find this whole thing is said and done, then fine. But I think the proof is in the way Helena said these things. And I think what you see Jennifer Hale liking on Twitter gives a lot of insight as well. So, all right. Let's see. Other comments in chat. Dijirama S does point out Helena is also UK based, so she won't get a lot of bookings here. That is true. It's harder to bring somebody out from over there. Let's see. ZenMonkey 11 says, difficult to work with. Don't you mean get paid less? There's an interesting trend. I'm sure you've heard of quiet quitting. Look up a trend called quiet firing, because I think some of that is what you're talking about here. So Bonds 006 says, I view almost everything I see online regarding social media with calculated intent. Sure. But isn't it why couldn't she have done videos that said, hey, here's the reason I'm not coming back as Bayonetta. I was only offered $4,000 to play the role. I feel after the first two games made this amount of money, I was entitled to more money. And this is this wage $4,000 is minimum wage. And I felt what I brought to the character of Bayonetta was minimum wage. And ended it there. I think she would have had my support, but she didn't end it there. That's the problem. All right, let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
A little eventful. I played, of course, Dead by Daylight, but I played offline because I couldn't stream with no voice. I started Final Fantasy V last night, again on a quiet stream this time. And I had forgotten quite a bit about it, and I'm kind of glad for it because it makes the experience new and fresh for me again. I played some pinball, and I played like this phone runner cookie game at TwitchCon, but I also played Street Fighter VI, and fuck, it's good. I mean,
yay.
I'll admit, I'm not great at it. I actually played the controller, not the controller, but with the joystick one, LC and I played. And, well, it kicked my butt because I was trying to figure out moves. But my verdict is that Kimberly is a great addition to the roster. She's sort of like what Sakura is to Ryu. Kimberly is to Guy, like the successor to the Bushinryu style.
Mm-hmm.
And so she plays a lot like Guy, but with like this flair and this fun to it. And like, she's got this extra color palette that's all like spray paint. Really, really good. I played Chun-Li. She's Chun-Li. Boring. she's always fucking boring. I played Ryu, which, I mean, again, Ryu, but he was my first video game crush. Ryu's my man. And oh my God, like I think I put a picture up on my Twitter not long ago. I'll have to find it. You can see the pores in his skin. Like, it's that well done. Of course, none of the women have pores. How dare we have pores? But he's just rendered so beautiful. I mean, the game is gorgeous. The control scheme, getting used to that new counter system, it's all right. It wasn't that really that bad with a dedicated button. This is absolutely a game that you should have at least a 6-button controller for, or even an 8-button so that you can map your charging buttons and your counters. Learning the counters was kind of interesting, but overall, I mean, it's such a good game. Oh my God, I'm excited. I haven't been this excited about a Street Fighter game since Street Fighter 4. I know that my girl's going to be in DLC probably at some point.
So another way to phrase that is, you were not a fan of Street Fighter 5. Because you just said
it was
four and then six. So just say it. Five was not your tea.
Even numbers, y'all. Those are good. But because honestly, I wasn't the biggest fan of Street Fighter 3. I seemed to like all the even numbered ones in the Street Fighter series.
Yeah, it's very Star Trek movies.
I'm still super pissed that they took the Street Fighter 4 soundtrack off of Apple Music. I'm very sad about that. Mm-hmm. Very bitter. It had one of the best soundtracks. What else did I play though? I played my word game. And I did, because we weren't here last week, I did beat Final Fantasy IV. But yeah, that's about, and I played, crap. I played something else. I played, Bejeweled, believe it or not. I actually had a lot of fun. It's been a while since I played it, and you know me and my little puzzle droppy games. So, I've been spending a little bit more time with Boosteroid, and there's a chance I may be picking up Fortnite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's not first person. I mean, I absolutely cannot run Overwatch 2. There's just no way I can do it. No way. Because it's not on any of the emulator, Windows things, and it won't run on Parallels on an M1 Mac.
Oh, bummer.
And I really was looking forward to playing it now that things have shifted a bit with company. But yeah. There's also a vague chance I might be going back to Star Trek Online.
Oh, vague. How random, but that's fun.
I kind of miss it, and I miss playing with, because I was in a fleet with a bunch of Scotsmen.
Oh, cute.
because I was playing like at the weird times of the morning. Well, one of them is an English guy that lives in Edinburgh, is an architect, a pretty decent friend. And I'd gotten in with their fleet, and we just kept playing. I kind of miss it, but mostly what I miss is just being bored and hanging out on DS9. So there's some stuff going on in there. Cult of the Lamb, of course. Which I've just been, I'm getting ready to beat the game. Well, not beat the game, but do the thing. I'm going to do the thing.
All right. Loki, let's go to your gaming week.
Minecraft. So I did want to talk about a little bit about what was in Minecraft Live. So this was interesting this year. Normally the way it goes is they will announce the next update, kind of show off what the theme is and what they're doing and that type of stuff. The problem is that in the last few years, they've fallen behind and really, not overpromised, but they didn't deliver on what their promises were. So for example, going back to 1.17, Caves and Cliffs, they had to split that up into two parts. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with COVID, obviously, and that delayed everything. Plus the retooling of how chunks generate and adding that world height and the world depth to it. It complicated things and redoing how all the caves and stuff were. So it took them two updates to get that out. And then the last update, which was 1.19, the wild update, they had promised like, oh yeah, we're going to go back to all these biomes and kind of breathe new life into them to make them all feel diverse and do all this stuff. And they showed the mangrove swamps, which did get added to the game. They showed off the deep dark, which was supposed to have been in Caves and Cliffs two updates ago. And then they showed off concept art for these birch forests that they were supposed to update, but they did never get around to that. So instead of delivering on their promises, they swung the pendulum the completely opposite direction and didn't reveal much of anything in this one. They don't have a name for the update. They didn't really say what their theme is for it. Except some vague stuff on Twitter about inclusiveness and representation and storytelling, which, like, that could be just anything. Like, it really, that's not a direction. We're getting camels, which is cool, I guess.
Okay, cool. Hanging
signs, bamboo wood now as a new block type, and bookshelves you can put books inside of. That's kind of it. Like, it's all this random stuff that doesn't really fit together. It's cool, some of it, but in the mob vote, we got this new mob called the Sniffer, which is like this prehistoric turtle dog looking thing. It's kind of weird.
Okay.
But they did that, but like, we don't know what they're bringing to the game, which is kind of frustrating, and it's frustrated a lot of the community as well. I understand. Like, they don't want to disappoint people. And it's cool that all the stuff that they are talking about are going to be in snapshots that are going to be probably coming out in the next week or two. But it would have been nice to see, like, here's what we're trying to do. Like, here's the theme that we have in mind. But here's the stuff that we have done from this right now. They're just not showing a lot. So it's hard to get excited about things. So that was just the mainline stuff. They showed off more Minecraft Legends footage, which I'm still kind of mixed on. It looks all right, but like, I'm not like super excited to play that. Not really much for dungeons either. And then what else? They had some weird thing about Minecraft Lego, but didn't really like show any new sets or anything. It was just completely random nonsense that was in there. It was just weird. It felt weird. But most of the week, aside from just the Minecraft stuff, it's been working on my episode, so I got that out earlier this week, which I'm trying to get back to doing one a week type of thing. Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right. I'm trying to get back to that again.
All right. Let's see my gaming week. So I've played a little bit of a jumble of games, the usual stuff. Been playing Final Fantasy 14, of course. Dead by Daylight has that cute little Halloween event in it, which is, you know, it's cute. I'm hearing a lot of rumors about the new Killer and Survivor, so I'm hoping we get to see those before too long, because I'm super curious to see what they're going to add with that. But then going back and revisiting old favorites, I got back on my No Man's Sky bullshit because the 4.0 update happened. But I didn't even, it came out of nowhere. A Twitch Drops campaign started on Friday, and I was like, what? So I ended up doing a stream on Friday to help people get their drops for the game, especially with it coming out on Nintendo Switch. Unfortunately, with the show yesterday that was taking up most of my day, and then, of course, tonight's OLR, I haven't been able to stream this weekend, but I'll do one more stream tomorrow on the last day of drops on Monday, because there's some really good ones for Monday. I'll do a stream then. And been exploring the, and I keep joking and calling it the Bobby Blackwolf mode. If you don't know the long-running Vogue Network in-joke, there was some problems and some controversy when the game Borderlands 2 came out, because they had a character that had a BFF mode in it. And it was long story short, it was interpreted as, you know, a longstanding motif that female characters and women need help in video games, which, as we all know, is not true, because, you know,
just gamer beers.
Women make up more than half the game
press.
Yeah. So anyway, but when Bobby Blackwolf actually interviewed the developers on his show, he kind of asked the question about that whole thing and asked for their side of it and so forth. And he said that they could rename BB mode or whatever it was to Bobby Blackwolf mode. So now we call the easy mode in games Bobby Blackwolf mode, because he plays games on easy mode. So No Man's Sky added a Bobby Blackwolf mode to it.
Which we should not shame anybody. You know what?
No, we shouldn't.
Let's be honest. Like, I get home at the end of the day and I may not necessarily want to be challenged in the game. I just want to have fun. Yeah. You know what? And that's why they have difficulties, because if your fun is you want to be challenged in something, you can choose to do that, or you could choose not to do that. Yeah. It's however you want it, however you have your fun.
Yeah, that was it. Thank you, Fifth Dream. It was something like, it was girlfriend mode was in one of the comments that was said, and that set off the whole
thing.
That was some years old controversy. Sorry, I'm a little rusty, but that's where the Bobby Blackwolf mode comment came from. So anyway, I actually played the game a little bit on stream in relaxed mode is what it's really called. And I was really enjoying myself, because sometimes you just want to play easy mode. And it was actually really nice to have the base where it's like, you don't have to make power for your base. You just automatically have power in your base. I don't have to worry about getting attacked by pirates. You know, it's different from creative mode, because you're still going through the motions of actually playing the game, but you don't like have to micromanage as much, and so to kind of take that out of it is actually, it leads to some kind of fun things. I would still play the game on even hardcore once in a while, just for the difficulty, to do achievements and things like that. But the game didn't lose anything for introducing relaxed mode. And I really think it's smart for them to have introduced custom mode, where you make your own fucking rules. If you want to do the survivability on planets, but eliminate pirates and space battles, you can do it that way. You can play this part of it's relaxed, this part of it's normal, but I want permadeath. You can do that. And what I like about it is that all of those modes, except for permadeath, are mixed together. So if you play permadeath, you're going to be in your own instance of the game when it comes to multiplayer. But otherwise, all the modes are mixed together, so you can play with your friends the way you want to play. And I think that's pretty rad. So kudos. No Man's Sky is just the game that keeps on giving. It's great. I haven't played the Switch version myself. It's $60. I don't know about charging that for a game that's been out for a while, but okay. Like, it's hard to say the value isn't there after all the support over the years. So y'all make your own choices when it comes to how important is you to get that game portable and all that stuff. But if you haven't checked out No Man's Sky yet, make it a point to do so. It's great. I played a little bit of, speaking of like new stuff. I played a little bit of Overwatch 2. There was some launch hiccups and so forth, but I played a little bit with Alan. We played some, and it's, it's similar to Overwatch 1 in a lot of ways, obviously, except they changed the team comps, which kind of changed the nitty gritty of the game and, you know, the kind of the flow of how fast people are dying, how it's more important than ever to really group up, you know, things of that. But for the most part, as far as just that, like that experience of, you know, quick team comps, combat, Yeah, I had a good time. You know, I like these games right now. I like these Dead by Daylights, these Overwatches. I'm kind of surprised I haven't gotten back into Fortnite yet, but Alan just got super into it, so I'm probably due. But the thing I'm liking about these games right now, the palette resets every 20 minutes because a new game starts. Everything starts over, and it's a new game again. And that's kind of what I like about streaming, especially these games, and watching streams of these games, because it's easy to just hop right in again, right? So I think that part's pretty cool. So anyway, that's a little bit about my gaming week. So we have some more news to get into. So we're going to kick it off with Loki getting into the news this week. Because again, I know we just talked about like five things at the top of the show, but here's the actual, like what happened during the week and not all like 3 hours before the show.
Yeah. So this is going back to a story that we talked about a few weeks ago about a contract worker that was terminated allegedly wrongfully because they had questioned or asked about unions, I guess. So apparently there has been a settlement that was reached with this individual for the amount of $25,910 with interest, and it's supposed to be paid to through Aston Carter, which is the hiring agency that Nintendo uses. But of course, it has to be, agreed upon with, there's one other group that had to make the agreement with that. But it sounds like that this is going to be concluding with that settlement. So I guess they're not, maybe there's smoke where there is fire there. So it's, you know, maybe they had a case. That's why they're paying them out. But
so it's very clear that, you know, Nintendo's got problems of their own. And that's not even the things we were talking about earlier in the show. Like, this is just like when it comes to their employees, they unfortunately, and it goes back to what we said from the very beginning when it started with Activision Blizzard. This is an industry-wide problem. And there's a lot of people in the industry that need to be held accountable. So now, granted, what's happening with Nintendo, there are some differences here, but with the union busting and so forth, like, that's not cool. Obviously, we know that. And so it's nice to see that, you know, the law is on the worker's side in this case. So, you know, you can be a fan of Nintendo and still say what they're doing here, not cool. Mm. Not cool. All right. Before we get into our next story, I have some more breaking news. And it ties to something we were just talking about.
Oh, no.
Dark Sakura, did you know this? You just wrote a tweet. I support Jennifer Hale. She is an advocate of voice actor rights, and Helena was ridiculously unprofessional in her videos, and she broke NDA. Jennifer is innocent in this. Look at facts and learn to think critically. 5 likes.
Really?
One of them, Jennifer Hale.
Oh, shit.
In the last 20 minutes.
I didn't look. Oh, that's nice. I love her.
Hmm.
She's such a sweetie.
Hmm.
And that makes me happy.
Hmm. Moving on.
Hey, I'm part of the drama now. Yeah.
No, you don't want to be Twitter's main character tomorrow. But no,
no, but I'm doing a screenshot.
Huh.
And I've met her. She's so nice.
Yeah, I know. It's.
And she liked my Grey Warden costume.
It's. She's obviously bound by an NDA, and she can't say things, but she can still say a lot. And I'm telling, just again, like we all have been watching this industry for a very long time, and there's just sometimes there's a certain way the tea leaves flow together. Anyway. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Street Fighter, as if we can move on. Let's talk about Street Fighter VI.
It's so much fun.
Oop, shoot, I just moved the darn title of the stream, clicking around too much. All right.
No.
Street Fighter VI has some pretty cool accessibility features that are built into it. And this is, you know, one of those things where it's like, oh, cool. You know, Street Fighter V didn't necessarily bring all this, but it really seems like Street Fighter VI is bringing a lot to this to the table. They're bringing up some sound accessibility to help visually impaired players. By the way, this is all coming out of the beta because the beta recently happened for the game, or it might still be going on. I'm not sure. I wasn't in it. But I know a lot of this information is because of the beta that's underway right now. But you can actually get spoken signals in the game for the menu system and select screens, and then customizable sound options during the fight. So you can actually get sound for like distance, whether a strike actually connected or was blocked, drive gauge when it gains up or it burns, when a player does a jump attack, alternate sounds if you cross the opponent. So that's pretty cool. You can also use a slider system to adjust the volume of every element of the fight. So maybe you don't want the music to be so loud or things like that. That's all things that you can change. So that's really cool for accessibility and having some more of those visual cues have sound effects. So also what's kind of cool, Street Fighter VI is going to have customizable a new challenger screen. So that's kind of cute. You know, when you put in, remember back in Street Fighter 2, you put in a quarter and you hit the start button and it says, do, 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 here comes a new challenger. Well, now you can actually customize these screens. You could have a different character in it. You can combine effects and colors to kind of, you know, bring a little excitement to the online matches as you drop in and so forth. So I imagine a lot of these cosmetics are going to be things that you earn through in-game credits. Maybe things you purchase. I don't know. We don't know yet, so I can't really say that, but there is that. And of course, there is character creator mode in Street Fighter VI. So finally, one of my favorite parts of Soul Calibur comes to Street Fighter VI. There is that. And of course, there are some very zany fighters that are showing up as a result of that. You can have different thickness in characters, hand size, abdomen bulge, different colors for everything. Muscle definition gets a three-way slider. So you all know people are going wild in Street Fighter VI.
I've seen some freakish things.
Yeah. So imagination.
I'm looking forward to it.
A lot of you have it out there in the gaming community. So yeah. But I'm really excited to play Street Fighter VI. That's for sure. So one of these days I'll get around to it when the actual game comes out, huh? All right. Moving on, let's go to the next story, Loki. Sorry, I'm still reeling from that literal late breaking news about what we were just talking about and how it's like playing out in real time. Very interesting, isn't it? All right, moving on, Loki.
So Meta has revealed its brand new VR headset, the MetaQuest Pro. It's $1,500, and it's a best, I guess. I'm trying to see what the extra details are with it. I know that they're not necessarily targeting gamers for this, but more of they're looking at using this as a full-on metaverse work tool, like almost like a PC that you would work with. It's still too expensive. But yeah, I think it has like the better tracking and, of course, a more powerful processor in it or whatever. But I ain't paying $1,500 for a VR headset. I don't see how they're going to sell this.
That is way too much money for a medium that hasn't broken through in the mainstream in quite the way it needs to justify this kind of cost. I get that it's growing.
Yeah, it has eye tracking and expression tracking as well, which I guess will be used for more, they said, more expressive avatars. Maybe fuzzed rendering or whatever with the eye tracking as well, but I think it's too expensive.
This is the Mercedes-Benz of VR devices. And Bobby Blackwolf points out they want to sell to businesses, not casuals, and businesses will pay
that's
it.
That's like,
and I understand, but I still think I'm not sure. You know, and even in my day work, I've seen like VR and how they want to integrate VR into that, and I understand. Like, let's say you want to teach somebody industrial like things and using a new factory thing in the factory, but it's something you can't really learn in a book, but at the same time it's dangerous equipment and it's really hard to show somebody in real life. Like, VR can kind of be a bridge to help teach somebody about those sorts of things. So I get that like a $1,500 device is definitely aimed at the business in that capacity.
Yeah.
However, it's something that you said, Loki, and something I'm not sure if Bobby heard this about this story either. There's some story floating around there about Meta that there was a business meeting about this type of device and how do we market this device to people, you know, and get people to pay it? And there was discussion about, well, people are getting their student loans forgiven, so now they'll have that extra money, and we need to market this device towards people that are getting student loans forgiven. And I'm like, now, granted, there's a lot of big grain of salt to take with that sort of story.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of look at a company like Meta and can I see Zuckerberg saying something ridiculous like that? Can I see rich people completely out of touch with the rest of the world? Yes.
If you're hellbent on, like, if you think that, like, you need to spend $1,500 for gaming and VR, I implore you to probably consider the PlayStation VR 2 and the PlayStation 5 if you want to go that route. And you probably still would have, like, $500 to spare on top of that. Yeah. And you're probably going to get a better experience altogether because, like, I'm telling you right now, if you spend $1,500 on that to go into the metaverse, which no one is using, by the way, or at least a Horizon Worlds thing,
Horizon Worlds and that whole, or I'm sorry, you're talking about the Horizon Zero Dawn spinoff on PlayStation, right?
No, the Horizon Worlds as in the VR, like, 3D chat thing that Meta has.
Oh, exactly. That's what that's called. I thought that was just called Metaverse.
Metaverse is a thing. That's like calling it the internet. Oh. Like, it, they want to go, well, Metaverse, that's us because we named ourselves Meta, and it's so clever. It's stupid, but like,
just I get what you're saying. Like, PlayStation and like the Horizon Zero Dawn spinoff in VR looks 2,000 times more interesting than fucking fake Zuckerberg talking to fake people in their little fake world chat service, that whatever they're calling it, Metaverse. It just looks, it looks like 90s chat avatar. Fuck, it looks like that Commodore 64 chat thing that people were doing on their 300 baud modems 30 years ago. There's nothing revolutionary about it. And it looks like a waste of time and money and resources, to be quite honest.
There's I don't even remember what the game's called now, but there's a free game that you can play on VR that has like a bunch of these little mini games in there. It's like, I want to say it's like Game Room or something, but it's not Game Room because that's PlayStation's thing. But there's something like that. It's like a VR Game Room. That looks better than this. And that's, you know, a free thing. And you can play that with just any old headset. Like, honestly, like, I wouldn't spend more than a few hundred dollars on a headset. Because especially, like, let's just say you want to go all out and spend that kind of money, it's going to be outdated in a few years. Like, you've just dumped that money. And they're like, well, it's like a PC.
Chat is pinch hitting with PC. Rec Room, by the way, Logie.
Rec Room, yes, thank you. That's what I was thinking. So it just looks awful. Like, it's, and this is Meta. Like, I don't trust them at all. Like, honestly, wouldn't trust them. So look at a Valve Index, maybe, or something like that. Save yourself some money.
Bonds 006 in chat says, do we get a Rob's rant? No, I don't think so, because I've made my distaste of Facebook getting into the space in the first place and gaming in general and so forth. And, you know, I understand why they bought Oculus. I don't think, you know, there's no rant for me. And I, you know, Bobby does make a good point that, like, professionally there might be something here. I still think Meta's trying to target it beyond that based on, you know, those other things. But it's not like I have a rant in general about VR. I will absolutely pick up the PlayStation VR 2 on the PlayStation 5 when it comes out, because that's going to have the stuff I want to play. Because I'll tell you, fake Zuckerberg and chatting with him in that space looks like a waste of my fucking time. And that's the rant you'll get, is that a system is only as good as the games that are on it and all that stuff, right? There's nothing here for me, but maybe that's okay that there's nothing here for me. But good luck to Meta making money.
And they're pushing that, like, the Microsoft Office suite is coming to this device. Like,
okay.
Aside from, like, having, like, virtual screens.
You can get
screens,
better for free.
Like, why would you spend $1,500 to just do Office in VR? Like, I can't imagine how that's going to increase productivity at all. It's not. It's going to be, and plus you're wearing you're going to wear that headset for 8 hours in a day. Well, one, the battery's not going to support it, number one. And number two, that would give you such a migraine, and it would be super inefficient. Like, I just don't see the point of it.
Cyberpathy is not a thing yet. It won't do any good.
It's just like, just don't spend the money. Like, if you're a business looking to get into VR for, like, you know, like these training things that like Rob was talking about, like you can do it for cheaper. Like you could so do it for cheaper and you not could, use yeah. meta.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, thoughts and prayers to meta. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about something. This actually came up in the last week. We were out last week, remember, because we were talking about TwitchCon. We had, you know, the new Mario trailer came out, and I think there are some things we still want to say about it, even though it's last week's news. And I think the reactions and so forth are continuing into this week. So let me ask the panel and all of you in chat, what'd you think?
I think it looks great. Like, people have a problem with Chris Pratt's voice in it because it sounds like Chris Pratt. I loved him in, like, the Lego movie and the other stuff that he's done. And, like, you're judging his performance based on literally seconds of audio.
Like, I just don't like Chris Pratt.
That's fine. You don't have to like Chris Pratt. But, like, I don't think it's going to be, like, horrible. I don't think it's going to completely ruin the movie. They're trying to, like, it seems like people are trying to get, and I get it, they want Charles Martinet to do the voice for Mario. And maybe there's a reason why they're not doing that. Because he's in the movie as playing other characters. And
I'm telling you he's Mario's dad. I'm telling you that's the cameo he's going to end up as Mario's dad.
I mean, it's, I don't know. But, like, I don't find, like, Chris Pratt super annoying in this. I think that, like, Jack Black is Bowser is friggin' awesome. Like, it just, he stole the trailer. Like, just absolutely stand out. I think it looks good. I think it looks good. I'm excited to see it. Let's at least see some more footage of this other than judging it by just his interpretation of it. Like, I get it. It's gonna be different. Like, but just give it a chance. Like, what people are trying to do is they're like, see, we did this with Sonic. We're gonna fix the movie. We're gonna complain and complain until they change the voice and make it Charles Martinet. I just don't think it needs it.
I love Charles Martinet. I think he's fantastic. I think 2 hours of that, turned up, because that's a lot of, you know, dialed up to 11, that performance. I think two hours of that would be a bit much. I think he would know. I think he's professional enough to know how to tone it down for a movie.
He would have some restraint. He would be able to, like, dial it back and stuff, because it's not just a video game. Like, I think he could do it. And I get it. Like, you don't even need a big actor. Like, if the thought is, well, we need to get Chris Pratt in here so people come see the movie.
Yeah.
It's a Super Mario movie. Like, no one's going to care that it's Chris Pratt doing the voice. Or, like, kids aren't going to care. Oh, I only want to see that Chris Pratt movie, you know? They're coming to see Mario. That's what it is.
I like the trailer more than you might think I did. I'm actually with Tiger Claw with something he said in chat here. This might surprise you, but I'm really big on this. Tiger Claw says the new Super Mario movie looks like, what if Nintendo made a new Mario game in 4K? Because the attention to detail on Bowser is just astounding. We're so used to seeing these characters in such a way. Because Nintendo always draws these characters with less details. And for me, Tiger Claw hit it on the head. If nothing else, this trailer makes me incredibly frustrated. Nintendo can't get with the fucking times when it comes to current gaming hardware. And I get it. That's their vision. That's not necessarily where they want to be. Maybe they want to do this for the movies. Nintendo's not going to cry for me, because they're just going to laugh and laugh and laugh while they're rolling in that Uncle Scrooge money pit. But yeah, it makes me go, fuck, I wish this was a game. You know? But yeah, Jack Black as Bowser was good. The whole thing with the penguins and that whole sequence was cute. Chris Pratt, you know, in the interest of fairness, you're right. We didn't get enough of him, but this was your chance to show it off. And I think they blew it.
And to be fair, it doesn't help that he, like, sold it. Like, you know, I've really, like, come up with this unique voice for Mario. Yeah, it's like, it's just your voice. Yeah. Dude. And let's be honest, like, the Lego movie and stuff, I love the Lego movie and I loved Emmett and stuff, but it's just Chris Pratt's voice. Like, it's not like he's doing anything unique with it. Jack Black as Bowser, I don't hear Jack Black in that. Like, that just sounds like a completely unique character.
Keegan-Michael Key as Toad was...
As Toad, that's going to be awesome. Yeah. And even Charlie Day as Luigi. Yeah. I love it. I think it's going to be great. I'm
and
going to give it a chance.
For those that are just oversaturated with Chris Pratt, which I'm kind of there too, although I like all the other people in the movie, so I feel like I'm just going to tolerate it. But I think DJ Rama S has a great idea. Darksucker, I don't know if you've heard this one, because I know you've had your fill of Chris Pratt. But DJ Rama S said, check out the trailer in a different language, because some of the other voice actors in the other languages are different. And so I was like, oh.
Yeah, the French one sounds good.
Yeah, watching like the Mario movie in Japanese might actually be super interesting. So I thought that was an interesting sort of way to enjoy the movie, even if you don't want to hear Chris Pratt. So Fifth Dream in chat says Danny DeVito for Mario. No. They are saving him for the Zelda movie so he can play Tingle. Remember?
Danny DeVito for Wario.
That would be such a good sequel. That would be such a good sequel. All right. DJ Rama S in chat says, the fact that the Brazilian and German Marios gave Mario an Italian accent. All right. Let's move on. I know that was last week's news, but people, let's be real. People are still talking about it this week. And yeah, there's some things from last week we had to get out. All right. Moving on. Loki. I feel like this story keeps coming up over and over again. It's like the onion layers keep unpeeling and the situation gets worse, right, Loki? Because I feel like we've reported on this like three times, but it's worse.
Yeah,
every time.
So this was last month. So 2K had they had a data breach when hackers were able to get access to their support desk, and they were basically impersonating the official channel in order to get hold of people's data. And at the time, they weren't sure what had been taken, but now they know. So it says that there was an email sent out to those who were affected by it. No indication of any financial information or passwords held in our systems were compromised. They were just able to get hold of, you know, the non-important stuff, like, you know, some personal data that was recorded when you contacted us for support, including your email address, help desk ID, gamer tag, and console details. You know, not important stuff, of course. And that data had been put up for sale online, so everybody that's been affected will be receiving a request to reset their passwords, and also keep an eye on their account for suspicious activity.
I'm like, do I have a 2K account? I don't even know. Like, I guess I need to just log in.
If you play Borderlands, you may have one with Borderlands.
The original Borderlands, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Civilization games. I don't know if I needed an account.
So, like, we haven't. I don't think I've ever contacted their support system.
No, I know I haven't.
So, probably not.
Okay, good to know. All right, well, one of the other big things that came up in the past couple weeks, but it's continuing on into this week, of course, is Overwatch 2's launch. And some of the news we got this week is that Blizzard's going to be doing their apology tour 2022 for some of the aspects of Overwatch 2's launch. Look, here's the thing. If you were pissed off at what happened with Overwatch 2 the first day, clearly you've never been around for a game when it launches and it's launch day ever before.
I think it's the other stuff, though, like the fact that they're requiring you to have an actual phone to to be able to log in, or like the fact that
they did backtrack on that. If you've played the game in 2021, that would reactivate your account for, in a sense, you don't need a phone to tie it to it. So that was one of the things that they changed after the launch. But some of the other things they're going to do to sort of, like, you know, entice fans to keep checking it out. You know what? But here's the thing. At the end of the day, they're not exactly crying, because they also are touting 25 million people have played the game so far. So this has definitely pushed the game, Overwatch, you know, in general, back to the forefront of a lot of gamers' minds. So Blizzard's doing okay, you know, as far as this whole thing's concerned.
Yeah, because I think people wanted to check it out. I'm not sure necessarily the people are going to continue with it.
I'll be very curious what it looks like in a month for sure. But some ways that Blizzard's going to try to sweeten it up a little bit. They're going to do some double match XP weekends, which will help you level through your battle pass even quicker. If you log in between October 25th and the end of Season 1, you can get a Captain Reaper legendary skin. Woohoo! And a health pack weapon charms. Those are kind of I think the weapon charms are all new and they're pretty cool. Those are automatically added to your collection if you log in within that period of time. Blizzard's also talking about more stability updates. There's going to be another patch this week, and they'll be looking for other issues and bugs as they come up. So that's all good. You know, again, I had a good time when I played the other night. I actually was really happy. My account merge finished, and so I got all of the skins from my PC, my Xbox, that like the week that they were doing it free, like a free trial, I played it and I got some rare stuff. And PlayStation, I had on PlayStation as well, and I had some rare skins. Those are all finally merged. So I was like, shit, I actually have a lot of skins in this game from just having like played it on several different devices previously. So that alone made Overwatch 2 for me like worth checking out, as I was like, oh damn, I still have a lot of cosmetics and, you know, things to mess around with. And Sombra is still a lot of fun to play, just saying. All right, let's go back to a classic time when you did not need a cell phone in order to play a fun game, mostly because cell phones didn't really exist yet. Let's go into this next segment.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Dark Sakura, what is the classic handheld of the month? Because once a month you mix it up and do a handheld.
We are going the Coleco route and going for the Coleco Tabletop Arcade Collection, which I always, always wanted and never could get. My cousin had one, and they were fun. So these were made and released in 1982 by Coleco, same Coleco of the ColecoVision and the Coleco Atom. they were mini arcade cabinet replicas. And they were pretty, pretty cool. They had had success with their electronic quarterback in the past. And with, you know, the different successes that they had with those systems, they decided to do the miniature tabletop arcade games. They had licenses from Sega, Midway, and Nintendo. So they did their first four, which was Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Galaxian, and Frogger. They were an instant hit. They sold over 3 million units by the end of the year. And Pac-Man.
God, what did they do to the Donkey Kong? Holy cow.
Pac-Man sold 1.5 million units alone. And they expanded it in 1983. They did Ms. Pac-Man, Donkey Kong Jr., and Zaxxon. They were marketed as the arcade games that you can take with you. They used a VFD, a vacuum fluorescent display. So it was really high quality for its day and really just nice. The ones that Atari was doing were, you know, especially on the 2600, they're pretty crude versions. Coleco ones were a step above that. They were in production from 1982, 1983, and discontinued in 1984. They were preceded by the Coleco head-to-head series, and they were the last, from what I can tell, that Coleco made. They did have two in process that were ended up unreleased and canceled. They were supposed to be Berserk and Omega Race. But I mean, like, I had seen these in movies, and the Zaxxon one was pretty freaking big. And, you know, like I said, my cousin had one, and I, like, it was the second generation of them. The ones that came out in 93 were bigger, wider screens, but, you know, there's just something pretty special about these. You know, it was your own little mini arcade cabinet, and we haven't outgrown that arcade one up. So
I don't have one sitting behind me right now or anything.
I don't have three of them on the floor. not the cabinet like you have, but the smaller.
Sure.
Tabletop ones. But I mean, it really was just miles ahead of what anyone else was doing at the time. You know, good on Coleco for making them, although, you know, they went into their own home console business too. And I must say that the ColecoVision was also well above what what Atari was doing. ColecoVision and the Atari 5200 are probably the closest comparison for game versions, although I do still think ColecoVision versions of some of these games were better. But going back to the handhelds, they were cool. If you can find them, holy shit.
Yeah,
if
right?
If you guys find a Galaxian, give it to me. The end.
All right. There it is, the classic handheld of the month. And I had a friend who had these, and they were so cool. Like, again, yeah, you have to remember, this was 1982. You know, the tech in these things for the time was awesome. They may look really rudimentary now, but, like, this was it, like, when we were kids. Yeah.
This was a contemporary of some of the other ones that I've mentioned, mm-hmm. and this was way, way ahead of its time, especially with the nature of the display yeah. that it used. And, yeah, maybe Donkey Kong looks like a purple blob. But it's playable.
Yeah, it's playable. Tiger Claw is dropping some links in chat over at archive.org where you can actually play the games online. You know, granted, it's not quite the same thrill playing it in a browser window as like playing the little device and so forth. But it's a nice little way to, you know, kind of remember what it was. archive.org/details/HH_CD Kong will get you to Donkey Kong. That's
just do a web search.
And from the, yeah, or just do a web search. And from there, I'm sure you can find all the others. So pretty cool. All right. Great pick, Dark Soccer. Thanks for sharing. All right. I can't believe we only have two handhelds left. And then we have to start thinking about what are you going to do in 2023?
Oh, fuck me. All right. I'll take some suggestions. Hit me up on the Twatters. I'm sorry, the Twitters. Mm-hmm. And DM me your suggestions. I'll take the best one and take credit for it.
Yeah.
Kidding.
I have an idea. Can I pitch my idea?
Sure.
Okay. So this might be a little weird. I don't know. I have to see what the listeners think about this, but that's why I'm going to pitch it live. So instead of the classic game of the week, every month you're going to pick one game that's destined to be a classic.
They're all eventually going to be classic. They're all getting old. I
guess that's true. By your rules of a classic game of the week, you've covered some pretty crap games. So anything can be a classic game of the week. It just has to be, you know, something that's impacted us in one way or another, for better or for worse. So
we'll highlight company shut down by EA.
Stop. Ooh, classic game studio. Ah, that might be interesting. We'll see. All right. Classic mod. Maybe? I don't know. We'll see. All right. There could be some fun things. All right. Tweet. I know you all are in chat, but we'll forget after the show tonight. Send Dark Sakura a tweet. Those last much longer.
Do me a tweet.
All right. Even though her Twitter going to blow up tonight. All right.
My Twitter's already done been blowing up, so whatevs.
All right. Moving on. Let's get into some rapid fire news and talk about some other news around the industry that's happening this week. Loki.
Yeah, there was a promotional video that came out from Valve showing off the Steam Deck. Unfortunately, they said the quiet part out loud that the Steam Deck is a great device to use for emulation. And they had a Yuzu featured in there, the Switch emulator in their video. Whoops. They have now fixed that problem, but it is funny to see that, you know, It's well known for you can play Switch games on the Steam Deck. It's like a big Switch. And then the Final Fantasy VII Battle Royale game, the Final Fantasy VII First Soldier, is going to be shutting down January 11th, 2023. Launched last year and apparently wasn't popular enough for Square Enix to keep it going, so they will be shutting it down. I forgot that this even came out.
I did too, and that's probably part of the problem, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Sorry, I just a really funny one that just came up in chat, Dark Sakura. The classic game of the week segment, where we go back and we pick a segment that's 10 years or older and re-air it.
What I might be doing. I'll tell you actually what I'm thinking about doing is classic game all-stars.
Okay. Oh, okay. Like Dragula Titans, Drag Race All-Stars, where the best of the best compete.
And more than that, I'm thinking what we do is all three of us pick one.
Oh,
the week before.
Oh.
And we have, or we put it on Twitter, and we have our listeners vote.
Are you talking about a classic game royale?
I am.
Oh.
We start off, each pick a game, you know, like keep it kind of on the same system.
Classic cage match would throw it way back.
Classic gaming cage match.
I think we got to do that. A classic cage match. Oh, that's good.
So we announce the games the week before the cage match. We put up a vote on our Twitter. And
so how do we make it so that Loki's game doesn't win every single month?
Well, we don't say whose game is what. We just put the three games on there and they choose based on the game.
And then there's a reveal. Then reveal yourself who picked what game. Okay. All right.
And also, it's really awesome because I pulled that out of my ass right the moment I said it.
And SSJ100Matt says, gotta have a theme for every month. And I say we let a listener pick the theme.
No, I pick it. This is my segment.
Okay, you pick the theme.
But I'll be happy to take suggestions. Don't take this from me.
No, it's great. I love it. The classic cage match. It's great.
Classic gaming cage match.
Classic gaming cage match. Oh,
that's
such a good idea.
Those ones we've already picked before?
It can be.
Why not? Why not? All right.
I have a pretty extensive list. So.
All right. I'm excited. 2023 needs to hurry up and get here. All right. In the meantime, I have a rapid fire story I'm supposed to talk about. Hello. Oh, yes. CD Projekt Red is making a sequel to Cyberpunk 2077. There's a part of me that says, of course they are. But at the same time, the way that game was received may actually be a little bit surprising. So there were some slides.
Slightly better now.
Yeah, there were some slides. Well, and to throw back a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Google Stadia. Let us not forget, for the Stadia people, this game was fine. It was always fine. So it's just interesting how that's all worked out. Anyway, CD Projekt is...
I'm still super pissed.
I know.
I'm more pissed that they're putting out a cloud gaming system now.
I didn't even hear about that. What?
Oh, yeah. I'll find the details. Go ahead and do your
story.
Okay,
find the details, but let me finish before you interrupt. All right. So CD Projekt is doing a new they were announcing upcoming projects. So in a slide they talked about, and it was interesting because they were revealing project names, such as Project Canis Majoris, which is a story-driven, single-player, open-world RPG within the Witcher universe. So, I mean, it sounds like The Witcher 4, but it could be a spinoff game. Who knows? But then there was a game called Project Orion, Cyberpunk 2077 sequel that will prove the full power and potential of the Cyberpunk universe. So they're gonna try again. I wonder if they aren't gonna recycle the engine to make a new game to try to save on dev time. That would be a very smart thing to do now that they've figured things out.
I found the thing, by the way.
Oh, go ahead.
So Google is doing Chromebooks built for cloud gaming.
Mm.
They're working with Acer, Asus, and Lenovo. And this came out on the 11th of this month, just after the Stadia thing, which proves to me that this has nothing to do with Stadia's management. This came from higher up at Google.
All right.
I can see it no other way.
Yeah. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some things we'll be seeing a lot sooner than the classic cage match of the month. The world release dates. Loki, what's coming out in the U.S.?
We have A Plague Tale Requiem on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series.
It's on Game Pass, by the way. I've been looking forward to it.
Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Them's Fighting Herds, I think, coming out of Early Access on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series.
Not the people who did Fight of Animals, is it? No.
It's the one that was going to be the My Little Pony fighting game, but then they had to make it not legally distinct My Little Pony fighting game. So now that's coming out.
I mean, it's a cute name, all things considered.
Mm-hmm. Last Hero of Nostalgia on PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series. The Last Worker on PC. We have Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, also on PC. We've got Dragon Quest X Online, all-in-one package, version 1 through 6. That's the name. On PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. We have the Jackbox Party Pack 9 on PC, Mac, and Linux, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, S, Stadia, I don't know about that, and Luna. We've got Mario & Rabbids Sparks of Hope on Nintendo Switch, Ultra Kaiju Monster Rancher on Nintendo Switch, and let's see, Warhammer 40,000, Shooter's Blood and Teeth. And that's going to be on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Gotham Knights on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. New Tales from the Borderlands on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Persona 5 Royale on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. That is it.
Oh, is that all? All right.
That's moving, in the fourth quarter.
Moving over to Japan on the Nintendo Switch, Ultra Kaiju Monster Rancher is out this week on the 20th of October, as is Space Marshals Collection. Not the Space Marshals is not ringing a bell, but there were three Space Marshals games. I don't know why this doesn't ring a bell, but yeah, Space Marshals 1, 2, and 3 in a collection on the Switch. Let's see. We also have a Harmonia getting a English release, but it is in Japan. It's just not localized. There's also Lego Brawls is out in Japan this week. This is pretty cool. A Dragon Quest X online all-in-one package with versions 1 through 6. So it's basically like a Uber version of Dragon Quest X. That is out on the Switch in Japan this week as well. And if we move over to... Oh, of course, I should... oops, sorry, never mind. We'll go over to the PlayStation 5. And I will mention Lego Brawls, Human Fall Flat... are both out there as well. And PlayStation 5 gets a Gran Turismo 7 bundle. So they're actually releasing a Gran Turismo 7, like PlayStation 5. I'm trying to think, is that just, did they just do a different? No, I think it's literally just the same old console with the game. Okay. All right, I thought they would do like a special controller or something, but it doesn't look like it. All right, also on the PlayStation 5, Persona 5 The Royal is out in Japan this week on the 21st. How about Europe, Dark Soccer?
On the 18th on Xbox, we have A Plague Tale Requiem. Also on the 18th, we have Them's Fighting Hearts and Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. On the 20th, we have Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope on Switch. And also on Switch, Matchpoint Tennis Championships Legend Edition. On the 21st, for PlayStation and Xbox, we have Gotham Knights. And adding Switch to that, we have Persona 5 Royal. Also, Fell Seal Arbiter's Mark. New Tales from the Borderlands, also on the 21st.
That's all right. Excellent. We and have
that sounded a little ASMR. I'm very sorry because I hate ASMR.
No, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. You're a little under the weather and it's affecting your voice. So let's have Loki and I take a couple headlines here and then we'll get to the listener roundtable tonight. So Loki, what do you have to talk about with us?
All right. It's another week, another lawsuit, right? So Activision now has another lawsuit that is talking about more sexual harassment allegations. Revenge porn is another part of this as well.
Which is illegal in the state of California, by the way, where you know, Blizzard's located.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what studio this is, but yeah.
So this was filed in LA by an unnamed former employee of the company, and targets Activision Blizzard, along with the former manager of this employee, Miguel Vega, and they allege that Activision Blizzard's failure to curb sexist and harassing conduct emboldened the manager to abuse, belittle, and insult the woman making this claim, making comments about her about oral sex, masturbation, and orgasms, threatening her job if she would not consent to sex, mocking her breasts, commenting on other females' employees' attractiveness. Also, repeatedly threat to expose a compromising photo of her as well. And then apparently, she reported her concerns, they immediately opened an investigation, and Mr. Vega was terminated within 10 days, according to Activision. Also, it says it's just sexual harassment. It goes into more details about like groping and attempting
it's
sexual abuse and just
terrible shit.
Yep.
So, I got nothing. This is a problem that needs to be. I mean, at least he was fired pretty immediately, but it should have happened before any of this and recognized before any of this ever happened. So, I mean, it's one of those things like I don't know what nice thing to say about this because there is nothing nice about it. But I will say this is an industry problem and we need to and probably goes beyond the video game industry, too. And shitty people need to stop coming to power.
Well, right. And these people are, you know, it seems like we're hearing about more and more of these people at the company. It's not like one-offs almost because they're just seeing leadership above them kind of doing the same thing or condoning this behavior. And so, like they said, emboldens them to just continue it on. And
it starts at the top.
Right.
Yep. I agree. That's why I've been screaming until I turn blue. Bobby Kotick has no place in this industry, and every day he still sits at the top of a major company is disgusting. Moving on. I need something lighthearted and fun, Loki. Please change the topic to something completely different.
Yes. Yeah, so apparently, there was a Kingdom Hearts TV series that was supposed to come out, and then it got canceled. So the series was directed and developed by
Warner Discovery.
Seth Kiersey. It was Disney TV. And apparently he back in 2018 or I guess recently was in a serious car crash, I guess in January, that almost cost him his life. So he figured that he wanted to share the work with the world, put it out there in case anything bad happened to him. He posted the video. It's been pulled off the internet, or at least his channel, but I mean, search for Lost Kingdom Hearts pilot animatic and you can check it out. And it kind of shows, you know, just an animatic for what the pilot episode would have been. And it's looks like, yeah, I mean, I could see this being like kind of a Saturday morning cartoon type thing.
Yeah, I'm surprised Disney never. It. Yeah, I'm surprised Disney never tried to make Kingdom Hearts more mainstream.
It was super easy to find.
You know, I've complained about this on the show before, and I think Dark Soccer, you brought it up, and Loki probably mentioned it too. Is that, you know, when we were really obsessed with Disneyland, and I'm saying that and realizing, oh, and Dark Soccer just went on Monday after TwitchCon. Did you see anything Kingdom Hearts related in the parks?
I did.
Oh, all right.
I saw people wearing shirts, and I bought pins.
Okay, pins.
I've already bought. There were already a few Kingdom Hearts pins, and there were. I want to say I saw some ornaments.
Yeah, but you know, I just and especially 10 years ago, and when you know Kingdom Hearts, when there wasn't a Kingdom Hearts 3 yet, and 1 and 2 were still. I was always surprised in the parks.
There's a Sora mascot in Japan.
Right, but not here.
I'm
still always kind of like blown away that Disney did not really throw more weight behind Kingdom Hearts. And I just assume some of that must have been complications with the Square agreement and just what they couldn't do. But it's just so wild to me that
Disney purchased everything. I'm surprised they
just don't know why they didn't put more weight into Kingdom Hearts, you know?
Like if they wanted to, they could just buy Square Enix and be like, okay, we own you now. Now we can do whatever we want with this. I mean, like, I don't know.
Dark Tatsuya in chat says, I do remember seeing Sora in Interventions. I think the last time I went was 2005. Yeah, the Intervention building, which, by the way, I think is a restaurant now. Didn't she say that?
It is.
Yeah.
This is Skyline Terrace.
So before that, it was, you know, it was America Sings years and years ago. But then it was a building that was like showing exhibitions of like science and they, I think they did Marvel photo ops for a bit.
I don't think it was ever America Sings.
I thought it was.
It was like America, this
not America Sings, America 3D or something.
It had like this 3D, like, crap, what was that? An Incredible Journey body thing. But it had
no. That was Star Tours. That was
no. There was another thing in there, but they had like lots of stuff sponsored by like DuPont and different industrial things because they were the donors for the park, and so that's what the Innovations Building was for.
But I do remember for a short time, to go back to Dark Tetsuya's comment, they did show like video gamey things in there. I remember Xbox 360 Kinect was like a thing they were showing in there, and they would show like the Disneyland game was on Kinect. Remember that? That was definitely in the Innovations Building. So I think Sora was probably in there tied to like video games or the future, you know, type of thing that was in there. So yeah, they probably had like a big, you know, Sora standee or something that sat in there. So makes sense. All right. Well, speaking of Disney, I didn't totally mean to but I guess when you bring up Kingdom Hearts, you're going to. There's going to be some new features coming to Disney Dreamlight Valley, which a lot of people, especially a lot of streamers, have been getting into. I still am kind of like, it's early access. I'll wait until they've fleshed it out a little more with some features. And some of the features that they're going to be working on include interacting with your animal companions. And this all came out in an interview that was happening on, I guess, the official Twitter feed. There was a survey, and the survey asked, do you want to be able to interact with your animal companions? They wrote a tweet that said, hey, Valley Villagers, we've been wondering, would you like to be able to interact with your animal companions? And the choices were yes, yes, or yes in the next update. So pretty much way of confirming that's going to be happening there. So yeah, Disney Dreamlight Valley is going to be able to pet your pets. So they'll have to update the website. Can you pet the dog? Although I don't know if that means you can pet Goofy, but just like your animal companions. But we'll find out. Maybe you can pet Goofy as well. I don't know. So
that tweet is already starting an argument.
The what?
My tweet has already started a bit of a fuss.
Oh, boy.
I love it.
All right.
I'm not shipping there. Meanwhile, come visit my Twitch channel to hear me say more about it.
What if they interpreted it as kicking them? What? And they'd be like, petting? This is what you voted for.
What?
I don't know.
What are you even saying? All right.
Oh, kicking the animals? That's mean.
Yeah, that's mean. Who would vote for that? Whoever voted for that gets instantly blocked. That's what should happen.
And pet whichever cat that is talking.
I think that's Smush in the background. So. All right. Let's move on and get into the listener roundtable, where we invite you to email the show every week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. I don't think we got emails this week, though, if I recall correctly, but I'll check with Dark Soccer. I know your voice is out. If I need to get in there and read something, I can. But
I didn't even look. I'm sorry.
I don't think we have anything, to be honest.
I didn't look.
That's okay. Peek in there and let me know. And if I need to jump in there, I will. Usually all those get forwarded to my personal email, too.
Give me 1 second.
Yeah. But again, if you want to email us for a future week, you sure can. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails. All right. I didn't think so. Okay. Maybe you have further questions or thoughts on TwitchCon or the variety of kickoff topics we had tonight starting off the show. We will also invite your calls via our Discord channel. If you want to join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord is the place to chat with us throughout the week. And it was really active today with everything that's been going on in the industry.
If I may, real quick.
Yeah, of course.
I wanted to say this at the start. My mom had to go into the ER. Mm-hmm. It turns out she has multifocal pneumonia, which just means she's got different pockets of pneumonia in her lungs. And she's in the hospital right now, and I would greatly appreciate some positives sent her way.
Absolutely. Send in some positive feelings and keeping you all in my thoughts. All right. Let's, as I was saying, we go to Discord, vognetwork.com/discord. And if you want to call us live, you sure can in the green room. And we actually have someone in the green room waiting to come on and join the show right now. So let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who is this?
It is the one and only DJ Ron Mez. How is everybody doing tonight?
I am doing great, except this four shot I have is completely messed up on Twitch. So I apologize for that. I will fix it. But Rama, why don't you tell us what's on your mind tonight? You were just on Bobby's show. You must have a lot to say.
Yes, I understand the whole redoing the whole layout. I'm working on a brand new revision from my Twitch stream. So,
oh, fantastic. And this is my own fault. What happened is when I designed this, it was made for the Twitch window being minimized. And now it's like it has to be maximized so you can see everybody. So, Darsak, are you trying to say something?
We should talk. Oh. If you're doing a redesign, we should talk.
Okay. I'm kind of doing something rough, but once I get it together, I'll send it your way. We can plot something.
Oh, I was like, why does Dark Sakura look so smushed? But it's because Rama is covering her. All right. Well, the podcast listeners are like, what are you even talking about? I'm trying to fix a visual disaster right now. All right. That's all I'm doing. But when it's done, I don't have to do it again. This is very much a fuck it, we'll do it live moment. But let's talk to you, Rama, live. What is on your mind tonight, my friend?
I wanted to talk about what's going on with G4 TV, but that can wait.
Nothing. You know what?
That can wait.
You know what the G's stand for in G4?
Gotcha.
Going, 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 gone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's in poor taste. I'm sorry. But I can't help it. I can't help. Look, I grieve through the use of humor. So.
It doesn't stand for G. I'm surprised it took this long.
Rama, what did you want to talk about tonight?
Oh, this whole Helena Taylor, Jennifer Hale thing.
Oh, sure.
Girl.
Sure.
Girl. Okay. As you all know, I've been part of voice acting industry for a while in the ways of knowing voice actors, hanging out with them, interviewing them.
Talked to a few.
Just having general conversations with them.
Yeah.
And before I say anything, every voice actor should be paid their worth.
Absolutely.
They should be paid royalties based off of the physical copies being sold, the number of streams are being people watching streams with their voices, and so forth.
Yep.
That, right off the bat.
Like a TV actor or a movie actor.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting. I was interviewing a voice actor about that earlier today. But I appreciate y'all at OLR, Bobby, and everybody in the Discord chat breaking all of this down, because I'm at a convention. I had no idea what was going on. I'm picking it up piece by piece. As I'm figuring this out, there's a little bit more to it. Because you know how they say there are two sides to every story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, there are four sides to every story.
I thought you were going to say three, but yeah.
What you said, what they said, what the people think. And the truth. And by the time we get to here, nobody cares about this.
Did you say when we get to here right now? What the people think? Is this what you said, Rama?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
For those on the podcast feed, he was using his fingers, and when he got to what the people think, it was the middle finger. So I just was reemphasizing
that.
Can
you hear the people think?
That's a good one. I've heard your side, my side, and the truth, but in this particular case, absolutely what the people think is huge here. Yeah.
Because what you said about this is correct, but because Helena Taylor voice is banned, nobody wants to hear nothing else. This is no different from another drama with another voice actor that's going on. I've already mentioned that person's name in the chat. Google it when you see it. Get some coffee and some soda and some popcorn. The transcripts are wonderful, but that's besides the point. There is definitely more to this than what we're seeing here. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you be so bitter? And after that comment, I went and looked at her IMDb. I'm just like, I can see why she's bitter, but it was completely and totally uncalled for. Go on, Rob. You know you want to say it. I can see it on your face.
That was just, what you said was incredibly fucking shady, and I just had to just stew in that for a minute. But no, I get it.
It may be shady, but am I wrong?
And you know what?
Show me the lie. There's not one.
Let's shade and shade alike.
Exactly. And the fact of the matter is, she's trying to get people to boycott this game. That ain't happening.
That's, you know, and you
That's
bring,
not happening. You bring I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I support the voice acting industry the absolute way that I can. I am one of those who will download fan subs. But when it becomes commercially available for me to watch it, I will delete the fan subs. I will watch it streaming. I will buy the DVDs. I will buy merch from it. I'll support it any way possible. I enjoy Bayonetta. I'm going to support this because there's more to the what's going on. I am not canceling my pre-order. Not after the hell I went through to get it the first time around.
I'm not. I will. I am not boycotting the game based on one perspective alone until we know what the truth is here, because it's playing right into this. There's just a lot of stuff here. But what stinks, Rama, is that there are a lot of people. You say there are people on Twitter who are saying they're going to boycott. Now, granted, how many of them were never going to buy it in the first place? Probably a lot. Let's be real. Yeah. This is how Twitter acts. People put on a front on Twitter all the time to look so fucking impressive. And it's like when you get to a certain age, or I don't know, when you just like it's so transparent. People's, you know, things, it's so transparent. You didn't cancel a pre-order. You're never going to fucking buy it in the first place. You're not impressing anybody. I see right through you. Now, I'm sure there were some legitimate people.
Show me your receipt before you
see it. Well, and some people did screenshot and show the receipt.
I saw that too.
I'm sure there's some that did, but that isn't to say they're not going to go buy it anyway. But let's see what happens when more facts come out, right?
Now, something similar happened. This is about within the last month or so. Voice actor by the name of Kyle McCarley. He put a video on his YouTube about a situation where he's the voice of Mob and Mob Psycho 100. Basically, they were going to go into season 3 and it was going to be non-union. So, you know, the rates and the pay is totally different. He reached out to Crunchyroll and the studio to be like, can we figure something out here so that we can have the original cast to do this? It kind of fell upon deaf ears, and he says, I'm not doing the role. But in doing so in his video, he tells everybody, you know, continue to support as a whole, you know, don't stop because of me, you know, continue to support, which is something I can get behind. If I can't be part of a project because of XYZ reason, I don't want people to stop supporting said project because I'm not there. Because if you, even though I'm not there, if you continue to support it, it could do something else. Make your voice be heard, you know?
Let me ask a question. I'm curious what you all think on this. Do you think Nintendo of Europe goes to the length to sue Helena in court for trying to start a boycott of this game and breaking her NDA? Do you think they sue her for defamation and breaking the NDA? Do they go to that length?
I honestly don't see it. They're just going to be like, okay, business as usual. Now, after the game comes out, if the projections are lower than expected, maybe. But that might fall under Platinum Games instead of Nintendo. But we'll see.
Well, it gets tricky when she's in the UK and Platinum's in Japan. So I'm not, you know, and I'm not going to profess to be a legal expert on what country is that enforced under and such. So my assumption is Nintendo did fund the game. So they, but let me say, does whoever she signed the NDA with, which I guess would be Platinum Games. So maybe they have a UK entity. So does Platinum Games sue Helena in Europe?
I honestly don't know. I honestly feel, I think this is going to be like a wait and see. Let's see what Kamiya has to say. That's it. Let's hear their side of the story before we decide.
Well, and everybody's been giving him shit because he blocks everyone on Twitter, which, I mean, I'm not excusing his behavior. He's always been a dick, but that's like his personality is being a dick. And I'm not saying being a dick should be a personality, but it's just one of those things where it's like, the only thing I found interesting was he did call it out in English, and you know how much he fucking hates tweets in English. That is in lines with his character, and he said in English, damn it, I wish I had the tweet in front of me, but he fucking deleted his account.
More to the story, something like that.
Yeah, basically like, I want to find the tweet now, because it's important.
It may be screenshotted, because I've seen it around.
Yeah.
But also to throw in there about Helena Taylor's voice work, I could tell you this now, up into the pandemic,
oh,
all the please, voice acting.
If I may, while it's in front of me, his tweet sad and deplorable about the attitude of untruth. That's what all I can tell now. And then he says, by the way, beware of my rules where don't tweet at me in English or I'll block you and all the dicky things he's famous for. But you know what? Say what you will about Kamaya. I understand being a dick shouldn't be a personality, especially in the gaming industry where we have plenty of it already. However, the fact that he did tweet that and say he basically said she's lying. So he's saying she's lying. So I'm very curious to see, you know, but again, I don't know if it's ever in a place where we do see it unless it comes out in court documents.
And again, I honestly don't see it going to that length unless what she does causes a ripple effect in the sales of the game. Mm-hmm. But let me just finish up with this and I'll be on my merry little way.
Yeah, no
now,
worries.
Yes, I did throw shade at her, at the work that she's done on IMDb, because sometimes when you put yourself out there, it's going to happen. But when it comes to voice acting, up until the pandemic, you had to be in the studio for it. So there really aren't that many. All the anime is in the UK is being dubbed here in the US. So if she really wanted to get up there, she would have to move from the UK to the US. Now, during the at the beginning and the height of the pandemic, I know voice actors I've spoken to. The pandemic. They've bought expensive microphones, digital interfaces, upgraded internet connections so that they can do it virtually. And if you watch some anime on Crunchyroll, Netflix, Funimation, High Dive between, I'd say, late 2020 to like 2021, last 18 months or so, you probably couldn't tell. You really couldn't tell that it was being done at home. But now that because restrictions have been lifted and so forth and various companies owning certain companies, it's like, well, we're not doing that remote anymore. You're going to have to come in.
The breaking news just won't stop. I didn't realize this happened until I think you or somebody in chat said something about it. But, you know, we were talking about Kamaya and how he basically was blocking everyone on Twitter. Twitter ended up restricting him. He deleted his Twitter during tonight's show. As of 2 hours ago, he reactivated. So he's written a few tweets since then. The first one he wrote says, or it translates to, resurrection with a, you know, little 8-bit graphic of a phoenix. Then he writes, good morning, everyone. It's still Parasite Shimada mode. So he's basically saying, I'll still block you, bitch, is what I'm reading out of that.
Kamiya is very,
He says, I've seen people repeatedly delete and reactivate their accounts for some time, but after actually doing it, I feel like I understand a little more. It's a sense of liberation, isn't it? And look at this. The first reply, bah, maybe you should delete your account again or pay your voice actors. Jennifer Hale got paid.
That's what's happening. Everybody's taking Helena's side and attacking without hearing the other side. This goes back to what I said about the four sides.
Yeah. I'm just seeing if there's anything else kind of don't tweet me. I don't care. He should turn off his replies. He should just turn that off so people can't actually message him.
On people tweeting back at him.
I don't know. Just don't check your notifications, dude. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not, again, and I want to make sure this is clear from the beginning, because I don't want people to be like, Rob Roberts said on OLR he was taking Platinum Games' side. No, it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that what Helena is claiming is not instantly the truth, and that I think she was pretty shady in some of the things she said that clue me into the fact that there is more going on. And again, there are more sides to the story than what Helena is saying. That I will own.
You know, and some people are saying that she did under duress, anger. And I get that. But I also feel if I put out a video like that, just throwing everybody under the bus.
Casually spilling news of a spinoff game.
Yeah. I think like sometime later I would do a follow-up apologizing for my actions and telling people that I was upset or something like that. I didn't see that.
No.
I haven't seen that. Some people have said $4,000 is a lot of money for very little work. She should be thankful. Okay.
Voice acting is a lot of work.
Again, that may be the base pay. And I'm just saying you could be the most pain in the ass voice actor out there But regardless of how much of an asshole you are, if you are, if you have that type of a demand for your voice and everything, you're going to get more than the base money. I can tell you that right now.
The other thing that I wanted to say, I don't remember if you said it or someone in chat said it, but basically the fact that she's not going to be working with Platinum Games ever again. I again, if she broke NDA here,
she burned those bridges.
She didn't just burn a bridge with Platinum Games. She's not going to work in she's not going to work in this industry again.
And you remember earlier how you said about voice actors are a bit of a tight knit community? Yeah, I could tell you that.
And is is Jennifer fucking Hale the bridge you want to burn right now, girl?
Mm-mm. I mean, she's such a sweet person. I mean, Jennifer is not this other bitch.
Yeah. All right.
Indeed.
Rama, any quick final thoughts before we wrap up?
Oh no. That's it. That's all right. It.
Have a good one. It's always great to hear from you, and I encourage everyone to check out Anime Jam Session, where this story will probably come up over there because it voice actor kind of crosses lines a little bit.
Actually, no. Oh. This week, we're talking about the convention we just came back from, which is why I'm wearing my Sailor Venus soccer jersey. We just came back from a con called AAC, another anime convention.
Good, clever name. Yes. All right. Well, we'll tune in for that on Tuesday. Always appreciate hearing from you, Rama. Take care. Have a great one, okay?
You too. Y'all take care of yourselves and each other.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to wrap things up here. We're almost at, 2 hours, 45 minutes, but still, we've been on the air for a little bit. So we're going to wrap up here and get on out of here for the night. Thank you all for being here, especially after a week break last week. Really appreciate that. We're going to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. I do want to thank you all for being here, as I do every week. Thank you for being here. If you enjoyed what you heard here at OLR, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices here so we can get some voices on air and so forth. Everything goes a long way. Word of mouth, reviews, 5-star reviews, shout outs, and all that good stuff. Raids, we really appreciate that. So thank you. Let's wrap it on up. You are streaming tonight, right, Dark Sakura, even with the voice issues, right? Okay.
I am. I won't be talking much, but I plan on doing some Debbie tonight. The Halloween event's still going on. Fun. I've got all the stuff unlocked though.
Oh, good. I still need to earn it. I would come play with you, but I'm a day behind on micromanaging my island in 14, so that's probably where I'll be after the show, after publishing the show, which takes time too. So
I can't. Intoxicated said he might play with me and Gwen, so I might reach out.
Okay, cool. All right. Any last thoughts before we say goodnight?
I need to go visit a sea witch about getting my voice back.
All right. Good luck with that. Bye.
Later, taters.
I hope that sea witch is a drag queen and not Melissa McCarthy, just saying. All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I'm hoping to get to play Return to Monkey Island this week, maybe a little bit at least.
Yeah, check that out. It'll be fun. My final thought is being a cheap plug for my personal stream at Rob Roberts here on Twitch. I will be playing No Man's Sky tomorrow, continuing on in Bobby Blackwolf mode. We're going to build some more base. We're going to hopefully explore some things we haven't been able to get to before because the game can move a lot faster now that you don't have to grind as much. So I'm really excited about that. And let's see. I also, on Wednesday, I'll probably be playing some Overwatch 2. I'm going to try to co-stream that with husband. If I can't do that on Wednesday, then I'll do something. So just a cheap plug for my personal channel. Thank you so much. Oh, and also just on a personal local note, I got to host that show last night with the Scream Queens Gorlesque, the burlesque variety troupe that I work with. And we had the Boulay brothers who host Dragula as our headliners and featured. And a lot of just kind words after the show that made me feel really good about my hosting ability and what I'm doing and so forth. So I just want to say I really have felt that love yesterday and on into today. It's made me in a really good mood today, especially with Rama called it, the pandemic really weighing heavily on our minds the past 2 years. It just feels really, really good to have done something like that. So I'm just in a really good place right now. So I just appreciate that. So, all right. Well, I think that's it. That's all they wrote. We're done. Let's get on out of here for the night. Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you next week here on Orange Lounge Radio. Happy gaming. Be nice to each other. And for the love of God, learn to critically think. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VogNetwork, but you know they were all still true.